What's poppin'? Hey, it's Drew and Mike Show in the Deals in the D.com studios for Thursday. What a week. It's already Kevin Dietz.
Yo,
the show debuted. Anybody watch it besides me?
I missed it.
Not quite what I thought it was going to be, but, you know, it's the first show, so.
It's his first day.
It was his first day, exactly.
Well, remember, he hasn't had those consultants yet. Remember, he said he was getting consultants.
That should be a bonus for Kevin. But it was great to have him in here yesterday. And then, of course, Dan Wetzel. A really good show. Man. A lot of downloads, too. Not surprisingly, talking about the Aaron Hernandez doc. And today, we had Steve Gorman from the Black Crowes on Facebook Live last time. So I'm not going to have him on Facebook Live, which is brought to you by Lover's Lane. He'll be on the show, though.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your sweetheart in the mood with a gift from Lover's Lane. Now there are three ways to shop for all your bedroom essentials. Loverslane.com, 35 retail locations, and the all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff that even Cupid can't get his hands on. Featuring, why can't Cupid get his hands on it? The order from Lover's
Lane.
Tiny
little
too
hands.
Hot.
They're big.
Don't wear anything.
Featuring quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting toys for couples. Sex Drive also has an incredible selection of erotic apparel and naughty gift ideas perfect for Valentine's. If it's something you want and you think, I don't know where to buy that because they probably have it. They have all that stuff.
Yeah, they do.
You might even see some of that stuff.
Shop early. Really? Visit sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane. And yeah, Steve Gorman is going to be Saturday in Livonia. We're going to have a Q&A. With you, and it sounds like a lot of people are coming.
And you.
And me, yeah, exactly. I'll be doing the queuing, and then there's a queuing and aing with the audience,
hot.
Too.
Wow.
And Steve Gorman will be signing books. If you want to pick up his book before you go there, he'd be happy to sign it for you. I don't know what the signing rules are. Is that on a website or something?
Signing rules?
Well, you know, some people show up with 19 things, and it's this awkward deal where
the...
Just don't be a dick.
He's just signing the book.
Yeah. Yeah, don't bring your Black Crowes.
Don't be okay. That guy. Just get a book.
When's the last time you hosted something like this, Drew? Are you nervous about the hosting duties itself?
Your last one?
No, it's my last gig.
Got to go out on a high note.
And it's real. You know what? I look at these things now because I don't know why appearances always sort of just throw me a little bit. I get nervous about them. Is that it's going to be over so fast.
Yeah. Go.
It'll be Saturday at 3 o'clock in no time, so it's almost over already.
You taught me that a while ago, and that's how I cope with things now.
It'll
be over soon.
I'll bring the cookies.
Well, are you prepared for people that maybe heckle you? What are you going to do if someone stands up and says...
This is for all the dudes on the stage. All y'all gay.
Happen. What happens then? What do you do?
Bring them all out.
I'll say I'm proud.
Yeah, there you go.
I spent about a half hour watching highlights of... Jerry Springer audience heckling the people.
Did any of our audio make it?
What do you mean?
Well, we have a couple Springer.
Oh yeah, they
questions.
Were on there.
Oh, they were.
On there.
That long hair don't hide that red neck, boy.
I loved that part of the show.
How many radio stations you pick up with those ears?
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
That was one.
Yes, I love that.
That was
one.
A Springer.
I got one question for all of you. Who let the dogs out?
No.
One fun fact about
dope.
Mr. Banging Your Roommate that was in the shower. Do you remember he was wearing a Charles Manson shirt?
Oh, I didn't remember that. Yes. But the roommate was another dude.
Yeah.
So that's why that
went and that guy immediately got up and tried to go into the audience to fight him, which that guy was like, I got a Manson shirt on. I'm walking down to fight you.
Excellent.
It was great reliving that.
You available right now? My buddy here likes him over 250.
His buddy stood up and shoved him.
You need to drop the tramp and find someone who can make you happy.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So much wisdom.
It's really hilarious. A lot of that stuff wouldn't fly today.
Can we have a couple more?
Let's see.
I can't
You're
hear
a
it.
Carpenter's dream. You're flat as a board and easy to screw.
I saw that one live. I saw that live.
Go to YouTube and pull it up since we're on Facebook Live. I mean, we can show them. And Drew, you can enjoy... You know, highlights back to back to back to back.
Excellent. Well, while you're looking, I will mention our friends at, how about our friends at Northwestern Tech? Because they've got a class starting January the 27th, and maybe you want to learn a skilled trade, or you're looking to end your dead-end job, you want to go to Northwestern Tech, HVAC.edu. People after a year usually make $40,000 to $50,000 in the HVAC industry, heating and cooling. They have four days of classes, 4 hours. So a lot of people work while they're doing this. Student grants, student loans, GI Bill. It's not like going to college and having those kinds of loans. It's 10 and a half months. But definitely inquire at northwesterntech.edu if you're interested either in the future or they do have January 27. That's coming up pretty fast. And they are targeting women. And they've
really?
Got, yes, they are. There are women.
Is it too late for me?
No. No, if you want to be in the HVAC business, with your house turning.
Yeah.
Brandon. Why is he at the board again when he farts in the mic? Zanus is actually
not making any
directionally pointed towards the microphone when he did that.
You know, when you guys direct attention to it, it just throws the whole show off.
It's our fault. I love the best offense is a good defense. It's so true. Yeah, so they do want females, and not that they don't want males. Many open their own businesses within 4 or 5 years, and many people make double the kind of money. We're talking about it for a year or two. So if you're looking for a skilled trade, how about HVAC? How about Northwestern Tech? .edu class January the 27th. Now we got those Springer drops?
No, because I'm trying to flag them down.
Oh, okay.
Can
well,
you open up my YouTube up here or no?
Yeah.
All right. It's just Jerry Springer roast segment compilation.
No, I can't.
That's awesome. I'm so disappointed. How many?
There's
streams?
19 of them.
How many streams are there?
Oh, like views?
Yeah.
Like 200,000.
I would think. Hi, Jerry. I'm so happy I got to meet you. I waited 21 years for this.
Really?
Yeah, I sure did. I just wanted to get my Jerry.
She wanted to meet him when she was
a
baby.
I forgot that women would pop their top in the audience.
And Jerry turns around like he's bummed out.
Was it worth the wait? Yeah, okay.
My comment's for the wrestler. If you have a beautiful wife, don't go to a beluga whale.
That really hurt.
So is she.
How high are you right now?
I don't have the one that you had up.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty high.
That's some pretty funny stuff. Where is Jerry Springer?
I think aren't they rebooting Jerry Springer?
They need to.
You're skinny and you have mosquito bites. Do you have the West Nile?
Not unless I got it from you. Have I been with you yet?
Oof. Good comeback.
What comeback is that?
Oh, boy.
Good one. I want to be with you. My mom's better looking than you.
Why would I want to be with you?
Your mom?
We bring your mom into it.
Is this your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait till
nice
she
comeback!
Mom's showing her tits now. No, and she's not.
Oh, mom did? Mom showed her tits in front of her son,
yeah,
sitting next to her.
Yeah, and if you saw them, it's not that big of a surprise.
Oh, my God.
And they're in the audience. They're not even on the stage.
Did her son get hard? Do we know?
It looks a little hard.
Well, your mom's an ugly bitch. That's all I got to say.
Oh, he's got it up. He's got to come back.
At least my mom's not in the club stripping.
Club
no,
what?
She couldn't.
Ooh!
Pouring the leopard animal leopard thing. Do you work the lunch shift down at the strip club? Because the other broad could do much better than you can.
They're waiting for a comeback from her with nothing.
My feelings. Oh, my God.
She must do the lunch shift.
I'd like to apologize because you really got the short end of the stick here. You're going to walk away by yourself. And I think she'll give you a wig back to Hannah Montana right there.
Why are they
you're
oohing?
You're going to be doing your squat thrust by yourself from now on.
Oh, it's like shit. Popping
squats
it.
Like squats.
Now he's doing it. I'm telling you, it's worth it.
Jerry Springer is a judge now, according to many people on
Facebook
Live. Wait
a minute. What?
Well, he was a mayor of Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, of course, yesterday we were covering, the ABNN was picking up the feed from WPG, or was it PCG or something
close
down in Florida. And, of course, the ABN was really trying to work connections down there to get some reporting done. No luck there. But there is breaking news. We have the ABNN alert today.
This here's breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB, number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. Ah, shit.
Booming.
Yes, always always news. Every day on the ABNN. I think it was the smartest move we've ever made was to develop the ABNN. And I mentioned in a tweet yesterday, we are looking for reporters and some technical people, camera people. The ABNN is expanding because it appears it's going to be around for a while.
There's actually even more breaking news since stuff I told you before the show. That's just what happens. With
we
he
may
breaks
have
news around this time.
Do we need...
Here's breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news.
We didn't even get the first breaking news out. I think we're going to have to start an ABNN 2. Have ABNN 1 and 2.
Oh, like MTV used to have 2.
Yeah, there's too much to cover on one.
Wow. You're right.
The mother of his children, the one who he threw a bag of gummy dicks at?
Yes.
She has broken her silence.
Okay.
Chelsea.
He should fear that, by the way.
But it's not...
No, I mean...
She's treading lightly.
You know she knows a lot.
Over the last few years, I've stood by the side of my children's father, Antonio Brown, and watched the rise and fall of an incredible man and athlete, she says in an Instagram post. Our children and I have distanced ourselves from him in our former home. Although we have parted ways, I wish him nothing but the best.
Wait. I thought she wouldn't leave.
Well, this is breaking news, Drew. This is
now. She said she's distanced herself. He's suing. Oh, wait, more breaking news?
Yeah.
He's suing her to get out of the house. By the way.
Well, it worked.
It sounds to me like there's no arrangement for child support in this relationship.
God,
that he just gives her money as he decides to.
Yeah, you know.
Why does everyone get screwed with this guy? He doesn't pay anyone. He has movers in the house yesterday who are moving his stuff, and the guy gets assaulted by him and his trainer, and he won't be arrested. He's got the doors of his house locked. He won't answer the phone. He tweeted out something that the police just want his name slandered.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's what they're in the business to
do. The trainer has been arrested and charged.
How come he was arrested, but not Antonio.
Because they couldn't get him. His house was locked up, and he wouldn't answer the phone.
Well, and the trainer had to go home eventually.
Now you're getting to the second part of the breaking news.
Okay.
Well, let me just finish what she said. She finished it by saying, unfortunately, it seems Antonio has made questionable choices and continues to ignore the advice of those who love and support him. And she went on to say that he's in desperate need of mental health. Huh. The new breaking news is that about a half hour ago, he was out playing catch in the street with his neighbors.
Well, that's nice.
They arrest him then.
I don't know.
I mean, isn't it amazing?
Should we call him?
Yes, let's call him. He always gets his way. The Hall Financial Hotline, by the way, opening up as we speak. And if you're paying more than 4% for an interest rate, then you need to talk to folks at Hall Financial. They are quick, they are efficient, and they offer you many, many options that you will like. I'm just winging here.
You know what they'll do? Copy. They'll help you save. That'll burn enough time for you to find it.
They will absolutely
David on
do that.
TV today. I know he's always on TV, but it's like, David looks good.
Yeah, he does. So he's happy.
Baby and golf. And
that must be taped before the baby, right?
Little Macklin. He's working
on worn
his...
out yet?
He's working on his offensive coordinator strategy because David.
Yeah, he's training
always,
the baby already.
He's always wanted to be an offensive coordinator, so Macklin is his big chance. But anyway, you may or may not know the risks, the rates right now are within fractions of a percentage point of their lows of the last 10 years. Things are good. It's a good time to do these things. And if you have some debt, maybe from the holidays or some high interest debt, there's a great chance if your credit's okay and if all things work out, you can wrap it into your mortgage. And maybe you don't even pay a lot more money because you get a better rate.
Yeah.
I mean, people try. There's a million things you can try through this. The only thing you need to do is to call Hall Financial, 248-308-5000, or go to drewandmike.hallfg. Just give them a shot. That's all we ask, and that's all they ask. If they can't do it, they'll tell you. They won't waste your time. Hall Financial, you won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. And now we attempt to get into – are we going to try her again, too?
We can.
I have her number.
I left her a real message. And...
The wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
Paul.
Maybe I got you.
Oh, there he is outside.
Paul has a great question to ask about his first semester grades.
When does he have time to go to school?
Yeah, he's in Florida. Online. Is he doing it? Oh, he's doing it online, yeah, obviously. Hey, that's his phone. That's his phone ringing.
That's us calling us.
I got you, AB. Let me get it, Mom. Let me get it.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
This is pretty much.
AB, I got you. Right here, Mom.
He's ignoring our phone call? Which is sick of
it.
How's AB look?
The same.
What up, AB?
I mean, is he moving well?
Get him back, baby.
What a downfall, catching passes from Tom Brady to that guy on his street.
Well, at least he's staying in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not mentally, but yeah.
We call him Young Tom Brady.
Is it worth calling her or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I just tried her an hour ago and she didn't answer, so.
You know, yesterday we were talking about cover songs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, my God, that topic. People love that topic. Yeah. It's so many people writing in about it, too, and giving us, oh, let's see, Smooth Criminal by the Alien Ant Farm.
I like that one.
Billie Jean by Chris Cornell.
That's awesome. That's his voice.
I Want You Back, Sheryl Crow. Also, Sweet Child of Mine, Sheryl Crow. I kind of like that. I kind of dig that. I mean,
it's all yours.
It's a chick doing Sweet Child of Mine. I mean,
exactly. No.
Now, I didn't even know about this cover. There's a song called Kids in America by Kim Wilde, which is Drew Wave right there, baby. The Foo Fighters did a cover of it. I didn't know that.
Oh, that reminds me of their best cover ever. The Baker Street cover by the Foo Fighters.
I've heard that. It is good.
It is so good.
And, you know, one mistake I think some people make is they send... There's Kim Wilde. Crank it. You remember this, Trudy, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
I was a kid in America at the time it came out, so, of course, a lot more. I still like this tune.
Hasn't this been covered by a bunch of people?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Whoa. Interesting pick by the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new wave that gets covered for some reason. Hungry Like the Wolf by Muse. Drive by AWOL Nation. Is this a Foos?
Yeah, Baker Street.
Oh, Baker Street, okay.
I like the original, too.
This sounds so much better.
I like Raff's version.
Raff.
Jerry Rafferty. Everybody calls him Raff.
I'll jump forward.
That's an all right time.
I was watching them perform live on stage. Cover of Tom Sawyer by Rush. This is my Rush kick lately.
Oh, the Foo Fighters?
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, the part that stood out was Dave Grohl mentioning how nobody knows the words to Tom Sawyer.
I couldn't agree
think
more.
You do, but nobody knows all the words to Tom Sawyer. There's just too many of them.
Well, starting with the very first words, which I always thought were Monday Warrior, you know, and so I used that as my Monday intro song for a little while.
Oh, boy.
And then I'm like, ah, fuck it, I like it. Yeah. So it
what
doesn't
are
matter.
The first words?
Modern day warrior. But it didn't matter. It's a good song.
The Foo Fighters, what I like about them is they will cover a lot of songs, and I don't think they spend 2 years perfecting it. They just kind of let it go ragged. And you can have really good results, or you can have so-so results, but I like seeing bands do covers.
On Facebook Everybody Live, Barry mentioned Weezer. They did Take On Me.
They had a Teal album,
which is all covers. And they're like, I love the band. It's the only band I don't like any other covers, I don't think.
I wasn't crazy about it either. Africa sounded just like Africa to me.
And they cover a song on the new Frozen soundtrack. Why are they covering a song from the Frozen
soundtrack? Oh, because they're weird.
The Eagles of Death Metal have a version of Careless Whisper by Wham, which is I thought was pretty cool.
That whole album has other covers, too. Do you remember the other ones we were listening to before the show, Brandon?
Yeah.
Careless Whisper. Oh, Family Affair they did.
They did Family Affair? I love the song. I love Sly Stone's version.
They did Abracadabra.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It took me a while to feel the song.
Did you guys delve into Marilyn Manson covers?
Yeah, Sweet Dreams. A lot of people like that.
Personal Jesus.
Marilyn Manson?
Yeah.
I didn't know he did it.
Didn't he?
Well, Johnny Cash did it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And did Hurt.
Let's see, either one's better.
Thanks for the podcast.
I was just
it's awfully easy to get busted.
I cleared Deetsy, and that's as far as I got.
Boys of Summer by...
Yeah, he did Personal Jesus.
A-T-A-R-I-S?
Oh, Atari.
Ataris?
I think it's played a lot
the Ataris,
on modern rock.
Yeah, I like that.
I play that song.
You do?
Plus, they have a lefty guitarist, which is cool. Yeah. Smashing Pumpkins, You're All I've Got Tonight.
The
car song.
Oh, I've heard
covers.
That one.
Metallica, Whiskey in the Jar, which we all know.
Great. That's
cool. Candlebox, Steel and Glass. I've never heard that. That's a Lennon song. It's not that well-known a song, though. I try to go with the ones people know. Imagine's been done by everyone.
What's your favorite?
Imagine?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think I can tell you. I don't know if I've really liked the cover a ton, but if I heard it, I might like it.
I don't think anyone's really topped the original. But.
I don't think so either. There's been a million efforts.
But I do like the Across the Universe by Seether. I like that one better than the original.
What's we'll play it. There's a lot of Across the Universe covers. There's so many Beatle covers. I have a whole page of them.
Boyce Avenue did
and
a
people
cover.
People sent them. No, I don't want to hear Boyce Avenue.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that they didn't.
This
imagine.
Is the one that everybody always thinks is Kurt Cobain, but it's not.
Oh. Yeah, this is good. I like this. I totally thought this was Nirvana.
Well, it doesn't help that the video that's on YouTube that has 6 million views is just Kurt Cobain's face.
Doesn't that guy look a little like Kurt Cobain from Seether? He idolized
Wait,
him.
That's not Kurt Cobain?
No, that picture
The picture is,
is
but oh, okay. Not the guy singing.
It does sound like him.
I always thought he was singing about Jack-a-Root, the old broadcaster there.
Jack-a-Root?
Isn't that what he...
What'd he say?
I don't know what the words are. It's in a different language. Sounds like he's talking about Jack-a-Root. Here's Cornell doing Imagine. Imagine
all the people. Well, right away, I kind of like it because I love Chris Cornell's voice.
Yeah.
I also like that it's on acoustic guitar instead of piano, so it's goes a little different. Chris Cornell does great covers.
Yeah. Here's the best one, though.
Imagination. Imagination. Imagination.
A lot of people like Rufus Wainwright's version of Across the Universe. Fiona Apple's is really popular.
It's great.
Bowie does one. Aerosmith's Come Together is very popular. A lot of people sent that in. Oh, Fish does a cover of Everything in Its Right Place.
Really?
I had no idea. They got a nice cover of Dear Prudence, too, as does the Garcia Band, Fish, and Susie and the Banshees. Eddie Vedder, You Gotta Hide Your Love Away. Ben Harper, Strawberry Fields. Help by Howie Day. No More Man. I love Paul Westerberg. I love anything Paul Westerberg does. He has a great slow cover of Mother Nature's Son. I Am the Walrus by Oasis. Oh, Styx does I Am the Walrus.
No.
How about...
Don't play it. Don't play it.
No, I'm not going to play it. Did you listen to the Radiohead? Is he calling already? Or are you calling
we
him?
We calling him, aren't we?
Yeah, we can call him.
Let me do the break real quick.
One other one real quick. Did you listen to Radiohead's Nobody Does It Better, the Carly Simon?
Yeah, I did. I heard it. Really it was good. Pretty good. I never really hated that song because I saw... CBS did a video on their pregame football show to Walter Payton running to that song.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of
that's why you
stuck
like it.
In my brain.
I like certain songs for things like that.
Has anyone yet heard Carly Simon on Howard Stern singing Mockingbird with Jeff
yes.
the Drunk?
Yes, hilarious.
That is so fucking funny.
The best part about it is she's laughing about it.
Yeah, she is. God, she sounds good, too. She's
yeah.
just dicking
I mean,
around.
Was, what, 12 years ago?
It was a long time ago.
So, two more real quick. Primus does... What was the Primus one I was playing for you earlier?
Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah, Have a Cigar.
Have a Cigar, which is really cool. And the Butthole Surfers doing Donovan's Hurdy
Gurdy. Pretty good. Man. Thought that was good. Oh, I like the Surfers.
Yeah.
STP does Dancing Days, the Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
That's on the tribute album.
Is it Gary Jules, Mad World? I think it's a well-liked version of the Tears for Fears. Tesla Signs.
Yeah.
Oh, Madonna's American Pie.
So
terrible.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
DeLeo Brothers.
This girl, Julie emailed today and said she got the, maybe it was the first Winger album, and she heard Purple Haze on it, and she said, I thought it was really cool because I liked Winger, and I was 10, and then I heard Jimi Hendrix do it. I've never heard the Winger version. It's got to be awful, right?
Well, maybe.
Deftones do Drive, and Sonic Youth Superstar, the Karen Carpenter song.
It's phenomenal.
It's not bad.
I forgot there's a Carpenter's tribute album. There's actually some really good tracks on there.
Oh, the one that Mike Clark did?
Deftones Drive is a cover
Close
song?
To You? Do we have that one?
Yeah, it's the Cars song, isn't it? I don't know. Somebody sent it in. I haven't heard it.
He also did Rainy Days and Mondays all the time. Sure.
Oh, that's right, too.
Remember Clark singing?
Is that the one he does with Maynard?
I don't know. I didn't get to hear it. But and somebody else sent in, you know, we were talking about Talking Heads being the possibly the best concert movie ever. And somebody suggested Erg, A Music War, which is heavy on early 80s Police, Go-Go's, Klaus Nomi's in there, pre-AIDS, Gary Numan, Devo, XTC, Joan Jett, Cramps. It sounded like a cool movie. I've never even heard of it. But Steve Gorman is hanging on, or will be hanging on in a second, so I wanted to quickly mention.
Oh, real incorrect correction. I was thinking of the Passenger song, so sorry about that.
Iggy
you're
Pop?
Correct. Deftones did cover Drive.
A lot of people have covered Iggy on Passengers. Oh, by the way, Bowie's China Girl is a cover of Iggy Pop doing China Girl.
No, really?
Yes, Iggy Pop wrote it.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. There's.
Oh, that's about that woman who lived around here, right?
The passenger?
Iggy and David Bowie went to her house or something like that. She lived in Birmingham. There's a story about that.
The Passenger? I thought that was.
No, China Girl.
Oh,
I don't know. I really don't know the story behind it, but look it up. We'll come back to it. We'll see what Gorman has to add to this conversation.
Ask him
conversation.
If he likes any cover songs, other than the Black Crowes.
I'd like to hear what his favorite covers they did were, too, because they did a ton of covers. Fun, fast, simple, and easy experience, all while saving you fat stacks of cash. That's what our friends and sponsors at DealsInTheD.com are all about. If you want to save time while saving money, head to Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Zot Ford, or the best-kept secret in Detroit, Zot Toyota. Because that's where Thad Zott, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zott, and Steve Gavar take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to our listeners. All while making buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing you'll do in 2020. So go surf their ridiculous deals and massive inventories at DealsInTheD.com and be sure to tell them we sent you. And then Luke Nowacki, busy, 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 helping people with their financial future. If you don't have a plan and you want to think about it, or it's one of those nagging things, oh my God, I'm 40, I'm 41, I'm 42, I'm 43, I'm 50, I don't have a plan. Call Luke Nowacki. That's what they do. Maybe they'll look back at your 401k and make sure you're in the right kind of investments for your age. Also, you know, as you age, or if you're younger, for example, you should be in much more aggressive investments and maybe a little less aggressive as you get older. So you want somebody to take a look at the whole picture, your income, your husband's income, your wife's income, whatever it is that you're working on, and try and figure out how to come up with a plan so that you don't outlive your money. Or an investing plan. Maybe you just want a plan for investments or a 529. 248-663-4748 to call Luke Nowacki.
Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Yeah.
We're looking at money.
Is Stever there?
Call now.
The Stever?
Is that how you're going to introduce him? As the Stever?
Yeah, I think I bet you people call him Stever.
Hello?
Stever!
What up?
Hey, Steve, what Black Crowes song are people usually playing when they call you from a radio station or from a show?
They're usually playing a song called... Hard to Handle. It's an Otis Redding cover. You may be familiar with it.
No, that's too trite.
how common of us, how lowest common denominator
of us. But I chose that song because we were talking about cover songs.
That's true. And Otis,
makes perfect sense.
Otis's original is very good. And I texted you. I don't know if you saw the text that we were talking about cover songs.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a fave or favorite, few favorites?
Boy, that's a great question. And when I saw the text, I immediately thought of a few. But now, just completely drawing a blank. Now that the red light is on, pressure.
At least you're honest.
Pressure is taking over.
And you're a guy that you know the red light.
I think that Nazareth, Love Hurts, is as good
as
ever.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah.
Wait, what's the original?
Well, Graham Parsons did a version, but he didn't write it either. I always forget the guy that wrote it. But
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Graham Parsons has a good cover of Wild Horses, too.
It certainly does.
Are you a fan of Graham?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And the Black Crowes did a few of his tunes over the years, and we spent a lot of time listening to everything he ever, his name is on. We went through up and down and left and right and all the way over.
Brandon?
Love Hurts was written by Bootlow Bryant and first recorded by the Everly Brothers.
Also by Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
Orbison did Love Hurts.
Orbison!
Wow. I got to hear that.
Jim Campbell.
Yeah. I've never heard that one. Anything that guy sings is going to be pretty great. I'm surprised.
Can you find it, guys?
Look for it, yeah.
Any others that come to mind?
Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison and Van Halen.
Yeah.
Well, Van Halen had a few. You know, their version of You Really Got Me is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. They're all pretty good. Yeah, I like those.
They're dancing in the streets better than a lot.
Okay, here's Roy. Love's gone.
Love and Mars. I love his voice. Steve, do you think that there was some guy in the control room saying, hey, we need to, fix this so that...
Trudy's phone is ringing.
Trudy's phone's ringing, so she's totally thrown off.
Who is calling you?
Some dickhead all day long has been calling me.
Jeez.
Scam caller?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. What's your question?
So anyway, do you think somebody put all that orchestration behind him because they thought, you can't just, have the raw track?
It's just what things were supposed to sound like back then, man. Okay. Throw some strings on there, break a few hearts.
It does sound a little dated, but...
Here's one of my favorite covers of all time, the Andy Williams song, Can't Get Used to Losing You. The English Beat did that on their first album, and it's spectacular.
We talked to, who's the lefty guitarist? He was at the Magic Bag.
Dave Wakeling.
Yeah, Dave Wakeling, and he said his dad suggested it.
Oh, really? That's great.
Well, you kind of wonder where he would hear Andy Williams. That was really off the charts, Steve. Nice.
All right, how about this? How about Devo, I Can't Get No Satisfaction? Mm-hmm. Also spectacular. Yeah.
I love that. God, there's three Satisfactions I love. I love the Stones version. I love Devo's. And Otis Redding has a great version.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Britney Spears. She covered Satisfaction. Give her some credit.
Wait, didn't Tiffany do, I saw her standing there? Tiffany had a Beatles. I know she did. And people thought it was her song.
Oh, God.
Tiffany seems more like she'd get her arms around Across the Universe. That seems more appropriate for her.
Oh, man. Hey, how's the radio going?
As far as I know, I'm still doing it, so it's okay. You know what I mean? They haven't told me to turn off the mic yet, so it's all good.
You know, I sent Troy something. I said, hey, where can I hear Steve on the radio? And he sent me a link, and I listened to some clips. And I was thinking, and you got a great voice, and, it all sounds good. Do you get guests on there, like other, music friends and stuff?
Yeah, we sure do. Nashville's a good town as far as everybody comes through, touring wise. So, the last person though actually lives in Nashville. I just spent a couple hours with Peter Frampton a couple weeks ago.
How's he doing?
He's great. He's a wonderful guy and has obviously a million great stories and, not a bad guitarist either. I know.
He did an acoustic version of Do You Feel Like We Do?
Really?
Have you heard that, anybody? Oh, it's phenomenal. It's incredible. I couldn't believe he's going to do the whole thing, but he did.
Without the mouth box, though.
Well, that's true. But I like Peter Frampton not just for his music. He is a fabulous interview. God, he's fun to talk to.
Yeah, he's a great dude, man. He the last Black Crowes tour that I was a part of in 2013, he sat in with us in Nashville at the Ryman, and we played a few songs with him, and it was one of those things where, he's obviously great. He's Peter Frampton. But as soon as he started playing and that is in your monitor and you're hearing it, if your eyes were closed, it's like, oh, that's Peter Frampton. He is as singular a player as anybody else in rock history.
Yeah, there's not many guitar players you can say that about, but yeah, he is absolutely fabulous. And you got to play with Jimmy Page too. In fact, he kept you in the Black Crowes.
He did. He brought me back to the Black Crowes because I quit for 3 minutes and then and then rejoined upon hearing that he wanted to tour. So, you know, crazy turn sometimes in life.
That's a great story in Hard to Handle, by the way, the Steve Gorman book that he will be signing Saturday at Rock City.
In Livonia?
5 Mile in Livonia. And what time are we getting there, Steve?
I think this event starts at 2 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I'll walk in about 1:57.
We'll talk for 2 minutes.
That's exactly right. No, it's better if we don't talk. I don't want to know a thing that you're going to bring. It's way better for you. Nothing's off limits, and the less I know, the better.
Okay, just tell me this. What question are you tired of being asked? Well, that's probably the question everyone wants the answer to.
I think the most commonly asked question has to be, how hard is it to walk around just being so damned handsome? And I'm on one hand, I'm appreciative that people understand the cross that it is to bear this magnitude, this magnetism at this magnitude, you know. So we've all got, like I said, we've all got daily challenges, and that's the straw that I drew.
I'm gonna take that off the list. I think you just covered it pretty well.
So leave that one behind, and then whatever else you got, we'll jump into it.
Have you done many Q&As with the audience?
Yeah, we've done I think I've done about a dozen of these events so far, and there's one every time. So, and they go all over the place. I never have any idea where people are going to go. But you know, most of the people that come to these events have been at a lot of shows. There's no one ever says, hey, I saw you once and I loved it. I saw you guys 91 times. You know, it's a lot of that. And so I recognize a ton of the faces. You know, it's ultimately, I think what they are, they turn into, it's a great opportunity for people that love the band to get together and talk about the band. Even if under the context of my book, some of it's a little upsetting to people or it makes them sad or whatever it does, but it's still a chance to get together with other like-minded people and talk about a band that means so much to the people who were there. They've really been fantastic.
Steve, I'm going to ask a very cliche question, and maybe you'll get asked something similar at the event. With Neil Peart dying, what are like your top three drummers of all time?
Well, my favorite three.
And yeah, who are your favorite three?
It's my favorite. Well, Ringo is number one forever from day one, and that will never change. John Bonham would be 1A, and then the guy in the three hole is a rotating door. It's a revolving door of about 25 other drummers. You know what I mean? Like, I have my alpha and omega with Ringo and Bonham, and then everybody else jumps in depending on who I'm listening to. And you know, Neil Peart was never a guy. I posted something the day he died, and I felt the need to establish. Okay, look, I'm not a Rush fanatic. I'm not suddenly going to jump into this. I love Neil Peart. I was never a Rush fan per se. Like, I respected them and I liked some of the songs. I saw them live once and I wrote this. It was like I watched God play a drum kit. I didn't even know what to make of it, but you know, I'm a drummer, so I don't know what that means he is, because we didn't play the same instrument. You know what I mean? Like, he was, talk about a singular player. And the thing I really loved about Neil and respected the most was just the kind of man he was and the diligence he showed, the commitment to his craft. You know, this is a guy who was born with a talent like no other, and then he also worked harder than everybody else. And that's in sports, you hear people talk about that a lot, but you don't hear a lot of musicians spoken of in that sort of thought process. But he honored his genius by working harder than anybody else, and that's just an amazing thing to have watched for decades.
So 180 degrees from that is the story of Joey Kramer from Aerosmith. He is now suing the band.
Yeah, that's a grease fire, boy.
Yeah, isn't it a dumpster fire, too, because they're so in hate with each other. The argument appears to be over him with the ankle that he nursed for a while when they were doing their Vegas shows. And then when he wanted to come back, you know, like just recently, they're like, I don't think you've practiced enough. Get out of here. Made him audition. I just wondered.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. You know, that's just 50 years together with guys you met when you were teenagers in any capacity in any realm, you're going to have some issues. But I think they're taking it to a whole new level with this one. you know, there, I don't think there's anybody in that band that wants to have their isolated tracks publicly shared from live performances. It's, you know, the Aerosmith is a great band. That doesn't mean they're all the greatest musicians ever. You know, the the special, and that's not a knock. I mean, that's the same thing with the Black Crowes.
Isn't that interesting though, Steve? I mean, isn't that strange that because I know what you're talking about, and in fact, some of it comes up in the book when there's a little discussion about Chris Robinson saying something about Aerosmith using backing tracks, and I was right. I've heard that before too, and I was like, what? But yeah, well, I've heard that.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously in the pop world, that's nothing. But it's something that in the rock world, a lot of bands have done. You know, you want to, and I understand the thought of, well, people want to hear what they know, and the recorded versions have intricate harmonies, and people don't want to hear us sing flat. If that's the way you want to go, to me, that's fine. I mean, that was never the way the Black Crowes were, and you can listen to shows where you'd think, boy, they should have had some backing tracks on that one. You know, it's a matter of personal taste. And but I think Aerosmith is a classic example of a band that's much, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yes.
And you know, you can sit there and pick apart. Drummers could all pick apart Joey Kramer's drumming, and guitarists could all pick apart Joe Perry, and blah blah blah, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter. That's a band that when they play together, they're a band. The Rolling Stones, you know, Start Me Up was like take number 38 because the first 37 were terrible.
Really?
You know, you capture lightning in a bottle sometimes, and it turns into a song everyone remembers. And it's all about the chemistry in the room at that moment. Not did everybody go to Berkeley and work hard on their chart? That's not rock and roll.
And sometimes the guys that go to Berkeley and work on their charts don't end up being the right guy in the band for whatever reason.
Almost always in rock and roll music.
Yeah.
Do you feel in any way now that the guys out in front of the guitarists are all the rock stars, and sometimes drummers can be more easily marginalized, and it seems like with Joey Kramer and a couple other drummers, that seems to have happened.
I think bass players are too.
I think, at the end of the day, everybody else on stage can fake it except the singer and the drummer. You know what I mean? Like, you know, two people have to deliver the goods every night. And if the singer sucks, everybody knows it. And if the drummer sucks, everybody goes, what was wrong with that band tonight?
Right.
So it's a different, you know, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, 50 years in, I don't care if Joey Kramer's in a body cast. You're telling me he can't. And especially this, I mean, my take on this whole thing, it's the Grammys and it's the Music Cares. I don't think they're playing a full set. I think they're playing like three songs. Right. I mean, I could play three songs left-handed and make it and get through it if you had to. So all this to say, and it's, you know, it's a he said, they said. I don't have any inside information, but it just seems like this whole issue is way, way deeper than his ankle or shoulder or whatever.
It does not. And it's two gigantic egos with Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. So
I got to tell you,
not even they can get along.
Right.
I'll tell you a funny story about Joey Kramer. And I can't remember which book this is. I've read two or three books on Aerosmith. But there was one point when Joey Kramer said, I want to say it was in the 90s, might have been before all the changes, but he said, you know, I got ripped off on that tour. I mean, they owe me, and I forgot what the number was. And it was sort of an informal conversation, and they said, well, why do you think you're owed money? And what he had done, he came up with a figure. And what he had done is he had multiplied the cost of the tickets times the attendance and then just taken out one-fifth. And he thought that was what he was supposed to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't aware of Ticketmaster or anything else. Managers.
Production costs.
There's a little bit of outflow on a tour, generally speaking. You know, there's two words that are really helpful to learn. One's gross and one's net. And, you know. Basic business. I mean, look, I'm not a Harvard man myself, but I figured that part out at least.
How long did it take to figure that out? Is it something you learned pretty early on, or
only about 26 years into our 27 year career? So, you know, I think I was ahead of the curve.
You know
what's funny? It's funny because we opened for Aerosmith in 1990, and one night at catering, Joey sat down with me, and we were having a conversation, and we didn't click with those guys back then. They were very aggressively sober in 1990, by which, that time in their world, everybody around them had to be sober. They didn't let us bring beer into the arenas. I mean, we were playing in arenas, and we had to leave our beer on the bus.
You know what, so Steve? We couldn't drink at the show either. The fans couldn't drink, which was what?
And so it was odd for us on our first album to go open for our heroes and see that. But you know, they were in a place that they look back now and say we were way out of control with that. Our manager was making bad decisions. And then the Black Crowes at that time were young with stars in our eyes thinking we're going to go party with Aerosmith like a bunch of idiots. So the vibe wasn't too great from either side. But I was sitting with Joey one night, and I remember very clearly, he said, I didn't necessarily ask him for advice, but he said, I'll tell you two things, save your money and wear earplugs. And and the truth is, that's great advice to a young musician, you know, on both counts. And it took me a while to think about I didn't save my money that year. Within a few years, I was like, oh, yeah, hey, that's good advice. And I'm still thinking one of these days about getting earplugs. So I can't say, you know, I jumped right in with him, but it makes sense.
Okay, I want to project you for a gig. It's not an open gig. It probably isn't a gig, but I was thinking about this today. Okay, what band could we put Steve in where there's problems with the drummers or whatever? And, the first one that jumped into mind was, I was listening to a couple of solo tracks the other day from Michael Stipe. And I thought, well, what if R.E.M. goes out and they needed a drummer? Would that be a band I'm sure you'd probably like to drum for R.E.M., but would that be a fit?
They're Atlanta-based, too.
And they haven't announced a tour either, so. I mean, this is awesome.
They're from Athens, actually, which down in Georgia, Athens and Atlanta are, it's 60 minutes and 1 billion miles apart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. By
design, both scenes, I mean, all the bands get along and all that, but it's like, it's two different scenes. R.E.M. is the reason I play music. I was onto them from the first EP, Chronic Town, when I was in 11th grade. So
Boxcar.
If R.E.M. called me and said, we're going to play and we'd love to do it, I would, you know, the answer isn't yes or no. It's how much can I pay you to be your drummer? that would be my answer.
Cool.
That said, that ain't happening anytime soon. But because they're the only band ever that really meant it when they said we're done. And I'm a huge fan. I respect them so much. And I knew when they made that announcement, like, they're the only guys that will never even consider reuniting. And they won't. And I know that for a fact. I mean, I bet my house on it still to this day.
Wow.
But you know, hey, but in the terms of, you know, in the context of your question, absolutely. I would be thrilled to no end because, you know, anything from the 80s, we wouldn't even have to rehearse. That stuff's stamped in my DNA so hard.
The other one, as far as, let's see, wait, another question about drumming. Oh, yeah, I want to ask you about The Who, because I was listening to and reading about Roger Daltrey and the whole Kenny Jones thing, which seems, you know, like Kenny Jones was in Faces. Was he in Faces? Yeah. And Keith Moon dies, and it seems like, oh, Kenny Jones, what a cool acquisition. And they did put out a couple albums with Kenny, and then, you know, later on I hear that, oh, Roger never liked his drumming, and it didn't fit.
Right.
And I thought, well, God, how does a guy like that not fit? Was his style just not right for them?
Well, Keith, I mean, very few people, nobody can replace Keith Moon. I mean, he was such a, that's another guy who played just like himself. And Pete Townsend wrote around Keith Moon. You know what I mean? He made him, there was only one band that his drumming could have ever made sense in.
Right.
And that was The Who, and it's the music Pete Townsend wrote and crafted to fit him perfectly. And I think Kenny Jones made sense for Pete because Pete got tired of playing with a maniac the whole time. He wanted somebody who would just lay it down a groove and kind of like get out of the way a little bit, probably, you know? And I think they all look back and go, yeah, that wasn't the perfect fit. And oddly enough, you know, they found once Zach Starkey showed up, he's like a, you know, Keith Moon clone in essence. And so they, you know, if you go see them now, you're like, oh, that guy's doing all the Moon stuff. But even Zach doesn't have, I mean, Keith was out of his mind, you know, like literally he was a bit crazy and his sense of time and tempo and meter, there was none. He was working through some issues every night on stage in front of about 12,000 people, and it worked. But nobody else could step in and do that exactly. Like, Zach is almost too, he's perfect, and it's weird, because The Who isn't supposed to sound perfect. They're supposed to sound like a train about to fall off the tracks, but never quite does.
I love
The Who.
Hey, whoa. Yeah. Where'd that come from?
Wow.
We're going to save a few questions for Steve on Saturday. But before we let you go, I'll go ahead and indulge myself. I was listening to the Beatles' Rain, and also Ticket to Ride. And I was like, yeah. You know, I love Ringo. I really appreciate Ringo. But you said he's number one, and, well, maybe you have one in 1A. But what is it about Ringo that's so special? Because so many people say, oh, what, the easiest ride? You know, Ringo didn't mean anything. Well, he was very important to the Beatles, and maybe you can expand on that.
Well, I mean, it's anyone that says that, you have my permission to never speak to them again. nothing good can come from the mind of someone who doesn't think Ringo was a huge part of the Beatles' success.
I couldn't agree more.
The Beatles, like, remove the fact that they had two and then ultimately three of the best songwriters in rock history. They were an amazing band. If you see the Ron Howard documentary, 8 Days a Week, that band that's up there playing together is as tight a unit and as badass of a rock and roll band as there was in the world up to that point ever.
And they worked their ass off too.
Of course they did. And you know, look, it's real simple. They all knew the minute Ringo joined, now we're the Beatles. Now we're real. I mean, he elevated their entire thing. And throughout their entire recorded career, his playing evolved at such a rapid rate. You know, like you mentioned Ticket to Ride and Rain. Those two songs were recorded about within 6 or 8 months of each other. And, you know, the jump from the Help sessions to the Rubber Soul sessions and Revolver sessions is unbelievable. And, you know, when they gave him a little more room, he filled it always with the most musical playing up to, I mean, think about what else was happening in rock and roll. Like, a million drummers have come since, and they take where Ringo played and add to it. But what else was being played on rock records in 1965 and 66? Nobody played like that. Nobody had that kind of feel. And really, it's just swing. I mean, the thing I love about Ringo and Bonham is they both swing like crazy. It's not tight. It's not, you know, you can set a metronome to it, but it won't work. You know what I mean? They have their own meter. You know, Ringo used to say, click track, I'm the click track. You know, and it's very true. And same thing with Bonham. I mean, drummers all have their own feel, and those two guys had the most pronounced. How many Beatles tracks could you put on right now, just the drum part, and you would know right away what it is? A lot of them.
Yeah.
A ton of them.
Well, you know, I want to ask you about another one. Getting Better, something about that second verse. I don't know what Ringo's doing or if that song's real familiar to you, but it seems like that verse just, it's like the tempo completely changes. It just swings. And
yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, and if you listen to Magical Mystery Tour, when they hit the roll-up part the second and third time, it slows down so spectacularly, but it's so dramatic for that. You know, it comes out of the part, and then it hits that big crescendo, and it's just pulling the tempo back so much. But it's what the song calls for. There's no – they were playing music. They weren't playing songs in a weird way, or they weren't worried about the track. They were worried about the song. And there's a different – that's a different approach. It's a very artistic approach.
Now, there is a parallel.
I never knew you were such a Beatles fan.
There is a parallel between the Beatles and the Black Crowes, which I saw you kind of shoot it down. But people like to blame or say that Kate Hudson was the Yoko Ono of the band. But I saw recently you kind of shot that down, that she actually had a very positive effect.
Well, I don't think Yoko Ono was the Yoko Ono of the Beatles. I think that's just a stupid storyline that people didn't want their favorite band to break up, so it must be the Japanese lady's fault.
Well, and you saw her in the movie, also in the studio on a bed, you know, recovering.
Yeah. In a bag.
And
you didn't see that.
And who was there taking photographs the whole time?
Linda.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, come on. And by the way, they are the Beatles. And you don't tell a Beatle, don't bring your wife to the studio. I mean, you know, I saw a thing the other day when someone had asked John in an interview once, like, why do you think Paul thought he could get away with bringing weed into Japan? And John said, we're the Beatles. No one ever checked our luggage. You know, they just lived in a different, their own planet, basically. You know what I mean? So, but I think that my theory has always been that John and Paul loved each other so much that they had to put their own wives in their bands to replace the other. I mean, they're the only two guys that ever did that. Why do you think that is? It's because they didn't have each other anymore, and they needed the most significant person in their life near them, because the most significant person in their life was no longer in their band.
The two of them should have had their own band then for a little while, Yoko and Linda.
that is a bridge too far. I'm not going to go down that road with you.
Oh, musically, it would have been wonderful.
Well, we'll save some questions for Saturday. Steve Garman will be there at Rock City, 2 o'clock, and we'll do a little conversation, and then people will be allowed to do Q&A with Steve.
And my condolences on your Tennessee Titans too. It was a hell of a run.
Hey, you know what? It was a tremendous turnaround. That was a shock. I mean, you know, we didn't know we were in the playoffs until the final week of the regular season. So to take down the Patriots and the Ravens was pretty spectacular. And I mean, honestly, though, I thought we were going to win both those games. I didn't think we had a chance in the world in Kansas City.
They looked pretty good, actually.
When it was 17-7, you still didn't?
Yeah, no, because I just knew that it's an inevitability. You know, like, I'll put it this way. The minute Mahomes had that bizarre touchdown and late in the second, it was over because we weren't going to come from behind. We needed a big cushion to possibly win that game.
Yeah, that was a crazy run. I thought they were going to come back, too. Well, it was our lock of the week here on the show, so they had to win. It had to happen.
Football all night.
Steve, looking forward to Saturday. It'll be great. And thank you so much again. And the book is called Hard to Handle by Steve Garman. It's a great book. A lot of people are reading it, digging it.
Right on. Well, thank you all very much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you Saturday.
Thanks so much, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
See ya. Steve Garman, Black Rose. It's all we talk about.
You didn't tell him it's your last appearance ever.
No, I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to make him nervous.
Oh, yeah. He sounds like the type who'd be nervous.
He would be very nervous.
Right.
You know what I want to do is I want to play something off. Did you see Jimmy Kimmel last night, Trudy?
Yeah.
Did you see the...
Yes.
The man on the street thing?
Yes.
Wasn't that great?
Oh, my God.
We got to play
that. I love
that.
Those are great, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, bring up Kimmel. I'm going to do a commercial here so you can have a minute to cue it up. Jimmy sends the man on the street thing out to ask people if they voted for the impeachment or against the impeachment. And for those of you who are going, oh, my God, I didn't even know we voted. No, we didn't. We did not vote.
They catch people who are just willing to say anything.
I know.
But
the best part, though, is that they ask them to expand on it. Mm. And once they've locked themselves in, it's like, oh, shit, I got it. Yeah. Because people that don't vote or don't know, a lot of times you feel guilty about it. Like, oh, shit, I should have voted. I didn't need to vote.
No one wants to look stupid.
Oh, yeah, I voted for impeachment, you know. And, how are the lines? It's really, really good.
Yeah, they have to embellish the lie. By the way, Liv Tyler was also on there.
I saw her.
Tyler.
What?
Is she the dimmest bulb? I mean, what happened?
I thought you were going there, Trudy, so I waited for you to say
it. Nature.
She was just giggling the whole time. She really has...
She knows nothing.
I got really dreamweavered by her.
I know.
Was Michael Irvin good, though? Michael Irvin was on.
I didn't have a chance to watch Michael Irvin, which I really need to get
back.
Give
him his.
You saw the electricity in the air.
I love Michael.
How does hair look? Was Pedro... Is Pedro on point?
Didn't
he fire Pedro?
Did he fire him?
I thought we learned that Pedro doesn't work for him anymore. His barber travels with him.
I think he told us that, actually.
We met him when he was at the Super Bowl.
He was trying to get business.
I think of Michael Irvin all the time because of that. Because give him his due.
Give him the electricity in the air.
And the electricity.
Well, really great. Electricity.
We got him on the phone when they were at the Super Bowl, and that was really one of the best... I don't know how many better interviews we've had. That was up there. Plus, this is right before the Super Bowl. So
should we try calling him again?
Why not? He was just on Kimmel. He's apparently talking about something.
Plugging something,
The Dallas Cowboys team video.
Our friends and studio sponsors at Zotford & Holly and DealsNeedy.com are proud to be our first and longest-running sponsor on the Drew and Mike Show, and thank you for that. Thank you for all the people that go out there and support us, because honestly, and I've tried to convey this to other young podcasters, is because they're always, you know, stuck on, oh, we got 4,000 downloads, we got to get 10,000 to charge us for our commercials and to, you know, make a living and to hire another guy, I need a producer. And I always say, you got to get people to use the sponsors. It's not just the number. The audience has to be, and our audience is commerce. Amazing. They're very loyal and very loud, too, and it really helps. Oh, does it help?
I think someone recently called us a cult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Thank you for that.
I
felt that was quite accurate.
I'll even go off the charts on this. I've been getting some really funny emails lately. I was joking that we needed a beef, And then I suggested that, well, how about if the audience beefs with itself? Because we had all the bitching going on last week. And people are. They're attacking back. And the email I'm getting is really strange. And I honestly would like to just say completely out of it. But even not watching social media, I can't stay out of it because people email. And it's like, oh, my God. And I don't want to not answer my email. I like answering. I mean, I really like seeing what they're talking about. Because,
communicating, yeah.
Yeah, you get sometimes you get a good idea. But, man, people just...
I can give you a pamphlet for a cult.
Some people really, really shouldn't have a voice. I'll read an email today that I got.
Are you part of the cult? Are you in a trance right now?
But the thing is, if people aren't upset, if they're not talking about it, then they don't care.
Yeah.
So, I don't take it personally.
Sometimes
I don't really get
upset. Sometimes hate's a good thing, yeah.
Don't start fighting with me.
But I remember hearing... somebody who is a pretty big radio star talking about how he has a female in the show too. They do not ever look at social media. They have no connection to any of that stuff because they both felt that it just completely swayed them or it affected what they did. And so they just ignored it completely. And I understand that. To a certain point.
Is it Rob Schneider and his wife who do a show together?
No.
More on that later.
Oh, yeah. Rob Schneider and his wife?
There's a beef?
There's a beef.
You already had a beef, dude. Yeah, we've had a beef.
Do you want to hear about it now, or do you want to...
Let me just finish this up real quick. If you or someone you know is in the market for a new Ford or a superb pre-loved vehicle, please give our friend and esteemed colleague, Jim Bentley, who's doing, I thought, really classy work on Twitter.
He must be selling cars today, because I haven't heard from him. There's been no tweets, so he must be working. He must be getting busy.
Well, maybe he's getting the opportunity to make all of your wildest automotive dreams come true.
If you hate Twitter trolls, go buy a car so he can't troll.
Right now, during Zot's Winter Wonderland clearance event, they have all the trucks and SUVs you could ever want. Ford example. Lease the number one selling truck in America, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4, under $100 a month.
What?
Or Detroit's favorite SUV, the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4, as low as $112 a month. And finally, during Zot Ford's Winter Wonderland event, lease Michigan's sportiest SUV, the new 2020 all-wheel drive Ford Edge SEL, as low as $168 a month. Give Bentley or Anthony Ketchum a call on the magic number 248-215-5151. That's 248-215-5151. Pick up a time to grab your sweet new wheels.
Car.
Zot Ford. And Dr. Roche is busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, 10% off all surgical procedures
are you killing time until you find your read? I saw you shuffling over there.
That he's always going to be doing booze, 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 booze. It's easy.
I was just going to play this for you to kill time.
Good thought. If you have a whole lot of money, you should put some of it into some of these renovations that you could get at Dr. Roche's office. Your breasts, if you'd like a breast lift or, breast tights, which tightens some of the skin around, so it uplifts.
I've seen the after pictures. They're really good.
Yeah, which you can see at DROCHE.com. Dr. Roche has a lot of before and after.
And if he needs to put a little implant in to do that.
He will do that for $3,500.
Got milk.
Their breast implant special.
Looks like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
For saline breast implants, also broadband light. Now, broadband light is perfect for right now. So before you go out into the sun, on maybe a break, a cruise, something like that, go get BBL treatments because it will take off all those age spots and freckles and fine lines and things like that, and it helps freshen you up for that. Three treatments of corrective and three treatments of PhotoRev for only $1,000, usually $2,325. And there's also some of the other things, the Diva Special Vaginal Therapy, which, tightens up and also, treats incontinence and some of those things that are awful, awkward to talk
about.
I think
that Pam Anderson probably should. Yesterday's
awkward
conversation.
There might be too much material.
Yeah, could be.
But she could get a free G shot, not that she needs it. Because apparently
not.
Oh, it's numb down there.
Oh, you think so?
It's been pummeled.
Go to the offices of Dr. Roche, 248-338-1110. And you don't need a whole lot of money because you can save some with this 10% off.
Okay, so what special treat were you saving?
Kimmel or Schneider? Which one do you want to do first?
Oh, let's do Schneider first.
Okay. Well, he's coming to Mark Ridley's, as you know.
Yeah.
And so is John Lovitz. And so I talked to Mark, who's great, and he's so friendly. And I was like, can you get the publicist for Rob Schneider? And he's like, sure. Bird.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I was like, Mark, there, you know, we kind of had a little thing back and forth on the phone. He's like, ah, I don't think it's any sort of a problem. So he gave me the
publicist. Well, he doesn't know. He doesn't know.
And awkward.
I sent the politest letter asking whether, you know, Rob could be on our show and some of our statistics, you know, how many people listen, et cetera.
Making copies.
And she came back with, thank you for reaching out. Unfortunately, Rob does not take podcast interviews.
Blah.
We'll follow up with John. So go back to you. Regards, Elise.
Now, first
thing. Wait, I don't know if I believe that.
Take.
First thing, he has a podcast with his wife.
Oh, what a dick.
See What Happens, starring Rob and Patty.
And then Brandon really dug deep.
I dug deep. This is a 2-minute deep dive. In the 2 minutes that I Google searched it.
Still mad.
I found out that Rob Schneider was on the Adam Carolla Show, the John DeBella Show, the I Quit Podcast, Robbie
John
Owens,
DeBella Show,
the Fighter and the Kid, the Battleground Podcast, the DA Show, the Koi Pond, Tiger Belly, This Life Podcast,
the Koi
Dr.
Pond.
Drew.
He went on the Koi Pond.
This man is lying his head off.
Maybe that's an
anti-vaxxer podcast that he's decided to join.
Maybe give me that list. I'm going to get back to her.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was now wasn't that a polite way of saying no?
It was a polite way of saying that he remembers and he hates us and he won't do it.
It's a really
Rob Schneider is the stapler, rated PG-13.
I think that's a really demeaning way to say no.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know who chose to say that. I don't know why I'm defending anyone.
Too busy. I don't know.
Rob Schneider is a carrot.
No one ever believes that.
So is he going to tell John Lovitz not to do it too? Because remember. If you remember in our whole battle, he claimed, in fact, he said this on the phone to Mike Walters, that I talked to Adam Sandler and he's outraged too. I was like, what? What?
I still maintain
you wasted that. Adam Sandler's time with this shit?
I believe that's him just telling Sandler's story. And Sandler's going, yeah.
Yeah,
while he's
Sandler.
Doing something else around the house. Just, oh, yeah, no, that's terrible,
sucks,
Rob.
Bud. Yeah.
One thing I like about Adam Sandler, he's one of the friendliest guys. You know, something on David Spade. He's such
a nice guy.
I just can't believe that he really got involved in that story. And by the way, if he only heard Rob Schneider say, well, he knows Rob Schneider better than we do, so he probably thought it was bullshit.
Here's Sandler's inner monologue. He's like, let me tell you about these guys from Detroit who called my mom on the radio.
Dear God, here we go.
That whole I don't do podcast reminds me. Did I ever tell you about the Brent Musburger line?
He doesn't take podcast.
I knew that. I just knew that wasn't true. I knew where that whole thing was going, and I didn't know what you guys had done, but I knew somebody had found him on many, many podcasts, and I bet there's more. Don't you think, Brandon?
Oh, that was honestly, that was just a 2-minute quick search. I only looked on like the first two pages of Google. If I would have kept going, I probably could have racked up another 15 podcasts he's appeared on. He's a liar.
You know what I like about it is that he got mad when he found out we wanted to talk to him. And he's like, no, and he relived it all in his head again.
We're taking the high road.
Yeah, in my heart of hearts, I think I didn't really want to even ask. But it is fun to find out that he's still mad.
That's what I said to Trudy. I said, now I'm mad we even asked.
That should be our beef. Because I also listened to the first 15 seconds of his podcast. And it's just, it's riveting stuff. Here we go.
It says, See What Happens with Rob Schneider.
And wife, Patty.
Well, it just says with Rob, though.
Does he look like Jeremy Renner?
Intro's too long.
All right, this is part two of our talk with Raymond Francis, the MIT biochemist and health expert. And,
cares?
You know, really, my guru for teaching me about health and, you know, how disease, what disease is, what health is.
See what happens. This is called looking up on charts.
How to avoid being sick.
Shut up.
And this is a two-parter. So if you missed part one, go back and listen to that because a lot of this is a continuation of that. And we try to build on our earlier conversation.
Oh, I'm Dreamweaver.
But then it jumps into, you know, he's got the videos and stuff.
It's too boring.
Oh my God!
I can't hear it.
Let's see what he's saying.
So what happens now? What I want to move on to: what happens when they're sick for
a cool shirt
chronic illness, or when their cells and your genes are so stressed out over time, and then when your acidity starts to become so low,
is he a doctor now?
Know the exact reasons. Yeah. There are some things we could say. What
Everybody's
can cause
still
things?
Awake?
And one of the interesting things you like can talk about was
okay.
When the oxygen
and his wife's on too.
Patty.
I can't find it in Chartables. I mean, maybe he's not on iTunes. Is this on iTunes?
This is recent. I mean, this episode.
How many
here,
views? Well, 10,000.
What was he talking
it's
about
from December.
He's asking a question that took like
forever.
5 minutes.
He's just saying big science words.
Oh, yeah. Is he's trying to
get the, credibility.
Legit.
Is the show just on YouTube?
That's a good question.
Drew,
no, it's on Libsyn. I've seen it at different places. I'm not sure. Maybe he didn't get put up on iTunes.
Drew, get off the high road. Come on.
Maybe it's in the medical category of podcasts.
If it wasn't ranked, I was going to be delighted. But my suspicion was that it was going to be in the culture and society category, which is where all the people who are well known who can't seem to get in the comedy charts.
Oh, sure. But he's a comedian.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude, but this is boring.
He's in maybe in the medicine charts.
I think what Rob says during his show is that when somebody tries to be funny, he says, this isn't a comedy podcast. I don't think it's meant to be. And I would say if I were representing Rob Schneider, I'd say, Rob, go with your strengths. Get Spade on. Get Norm on. Get Adam on. And
hell, even your daughter who's a star. Get her on.
But apparently he's interested in other things. And that's no crime. It's just not really interesting.
Does he remind you a little bit of Jeremy Renner? Like they might have a tenth of a gene away from each other with the douche DNA.
Way off of Jeremy Renner.
Really?
Wait, yeah. Jeremy Renner, how does he fall in the douche pile?
Leave that.
How does he not?
Who's that doctor separated at birth with?
Okay, wait, let me put my glasses on.
The top right.
Oh, I was going to say L. Brooks Patterson.
I was going to say Lou Holtz.
Oh, you're right, Lou Holtz.
He looks like Lou Holtz.
Is there a little Elbrooks in there, though? Put on some white.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The glasses, of course.
A little bit.
Yeah,
but
I could see
the hair. I see Lou Holtz, in the Lou Holtz. Nose. Like, why is he talking to Lou Holtz?
He's got really weird hair.
I do see it up on Google Podcasts, though. But the problem is you're probably not
searching. Is it ranked, Brandon?
Well, it doesn't show up when you search Rob Schneider because it's just called
What Happens.
See What Happens.
Oh, See What Happens. That's where I made my mistake. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go back on Chartables.
So he
certainly want to give him his due. Trudy, have you heard anything about John Lovitz?
Yeah, they haven't circled back around for that. Remember last year there was some fussy business as well.
Yeah, but
John,
he wasn't
so.
Mad. He has no beef with
us. No, he has no beef with us whatsoever.
So. Lovitz was one of the names. Before the show, we were talking about a fantastic new site that Brandon stumbled upon.
Oh, yes.
He was on that?
We did John Lovitz and Andy Dick because they have a feud.
Okay. We'll get to that in a minute.
That's really good.
Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Rob Schneider's See What Happens is ranked. It was ranked in South Africa under comedy podcasts. It's not anymore. It's out. It has 165 ratings, which.
That's AIDS country.
That's not. Very many. Just as an example, we have 4,750, I think.
Oh, that's people who have reviewed us?
Reviewed the show, yeah.
Well, no, I can get through the first question.
Maybe he's only done a couple shows. Let me take a look. She's done.
We would have such high ratings.
You're so ironically on the high road.
Here's one. Well, I just revealed some negative information. I didn't create the information, though. Mm. It was compiled by the fine folks at Apple. He has a show called The Blame Meister, by the way. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
My kids is listening to this.
4, 5, 6, 50, you said.
Oh, wait a second. He's got a...
Why is he counting so loud?
He's got like 140, 130 episodes. He's been doing this a while. Not very many ratings. People
just
don't choose to rate.
I
will say this. The very few, the 165 that reviewed a show, gave it a 4.9. So he does get well rated by very few people.
Oh, well, he's doing good at Ridley's.
Yeah.
So he sold out a show.
I hope the show does great.
Yeah,
really
he is.
For Mark's sake.
For Mark, yeah.
For Mark.
Love
exactly.
Mark.
Oh.
Mark's the best.
It's probably a good show. Honestly, I'd like to see John Lovitz.
Okay.
I would. Well, but John is not also?
Yeah.
No, we don't know this yet, and there's some time. So
Okay. So we should not give up on John Lovitz.
No, I'll circle back.
Okay, no piling into John Lovitz yet.
Okay.
Trudy, please reply and say, you are incorrect. Rob has showed up on these 13 podcasts, plus some others that I
will, but it's the same publicist for John Lovitz, so I don't want her to be mad at me.
No, the reply would be to say that, you need to contact John DiBella, blank, you know, run through all the podcasts, because they are saying that Rob was a guest erroneously.
That's a great idea.
If he hasn't done podcasts, why are these 13 people lying and using Rob's name to draw people?
Oh, yeah.
That's a dumb excuse.
Just a thought.
Just a fake lie.
Corny as it sounds, it's 2020. 2020, that is, without glasses and contacts. Truth is, the only way to get there is to opt for the safe, painless, brave procedure at the Aldo Eye Center, where so many people have gone. In fact, maybe more than 165. I wouldn't be surprised if we've had more people go to Dr. Yaldo than have rated Rob Schneider's.
Oh,
wow. Just saying. I mean, just that's to sure. sort of
number
compare
eight.
It to something.
Numbers don't lie.
Makes it sound impressive, doesn't it? He may say you're a perfect candidate or that you don't need to do anything. He might recommend you wait until a condition may change, or he may tell you you're simply not a good candidate for LASIK or multifocal lens exchange. He's become the most trusted, most experienced eye surgeon in the Midwest because his goal is to serve people the gift of great vision, not to take your money. Do what hundreds of our listeners have done, probably over 165. Make the call. Understand we'll be required to rid you of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses, and then decide for yourself. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Okay, I did promise that crappy review. It wasn't a review. It was an email. Let's see. Oh, boy. This is... I can't get away from it. Was it Margaret?
Oh, Margaret.
No, I don't think it's
you
Margaret.
You ever known a Margaret who wasn't you know, kind of a...
I don't... I'm trying to think
Maggie?
If I... wait, Martha, no. Martha Moorcock, I'll never forget her name. I was introduced to her, and it's one of those things where it's like you're hit with napalm or something. It's like, did someone say your name is Moorcock?
Why wouldn't you change it?
Well, it was like... I think
there are a lot of Moorcocks.
This was a long time ago.
Funny name, huh?
She probably...
Yeah, but she knows.
Oh, God.
My father had to sit her down when she was six and explain it.
I would have
be
to
prepared.
Believe that she knows that that name has
Margaret,
a different meaning to some people.
Our last name might make some immature people chuckle.
Cock?
The Babcocks, too. They need to change
that. Yeah, well, it's always just Babcock. There's no first name with them.
Yeah, Babcock is a little safer than Moorcock.
Moorcock,
and
right.
She was a good-looking girl, too, which probably made it rough. Why can't I find this review?
Wait,
oh, I know where to find it, because I respond.
Ah, sent.
Let's see. Come on. Where is it? This can't disappear, can it?
You've got mail.
Did I delete it? I didn't.
Oh,
there's only a way, there was only a way to print them out.
We may not know what's in those deleted emails.
You got it yesterday morning because you read it to me.
These people who are now calling me have called me like 15 times today.
Why don't you answer it? See what's
going on.
I've
talked to him briefly. It's some gentleman from a boiler room in possibly Southeast Asia. Who, when I finally answered, I was like, oh my God, you guys called me like a dozen times today. And he asked me a couple of questions about insurance, and then he told me to fuck off.
Just pick it up and tell him back.
Wait, why are you telling me to fuck off?
Wait, why were you told to fuck off?
You're the one who's calling me.
Did you find that email?
Yeah.
Say, I've always heard you can never really delete an email, so it should be able to be fine.
I hear you.
Seriously, I think I deleted it. I'm checking the send file.
Do you know what the gist of it was?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Do you not want
to? Well, I read it to Brandon.
Yeah.
It was, she is a longtime listener of the show, and she heard the show. She just listened to the show from January 7th when Maz was no longer part of the show, and she's not listening anymore, and she got four other people to listen because of Maz, and they're not listening anymore either.
See ya.
And now, the thing that throws me in that is that someone who listened for a long time would seem to, you know, you'd think they'd go back with the show. Mm-hmm. Maybe something would resonate from the 28 years of hard work as opposed to the 12 hours a week that Maz put in. And that's not putting down Maz. Actually, it's lifting him up. It's look, the guy worked 12 hours and he was the whole show. 12 hours a month, I'm sorry. When he was here all four shows, which he wasn't always. So,
she was so angry.
Yeah, she was very angry, and they're all not listening anymore. They're done. And then she said that not wanting to pay him was cheap and that I showed my ass. Whoa. And it was just brutal.
Oh.
And I'm trying
she
to
she doesn't tell the facts.
That's not true, though. It's not that you didn't want to pay him.
No. No, and it wasn't, and he certainly was not, and he would agree with me. Nobody was cheap to him. He was well paid.
You're a cheap little bitch.
By the hour, he's played
very
well.
I think you showed yourself.
I guess I showed my ass. But yeah, it was really, it was very nasty and, you know, see ya. So
yesterday,
anyway.
She even tried to attack me.
and there's another part that kind of, you know, I go, oh, really? And that's that was the one show. When she downloaded the shows, it sounded like she downloaded a week at a time, which is a little different. That was the one show she went to first because she likes it the best. And that doing the same thing every day is boring. And I felt...
Wait a minute, what?
Don't most shows... Isn't it quite unusual to have a different show out of every five? I mean, that was very unique. I've never done it before. Just saying. Anyway.
Right.
We'll miss her.
Yeah, we will. I wanted to read my response, too, because it really wasn't that sarcastic, but I was saying, hey, if Maz is what you love, then you will love the rap with Maz, because it's all sports. Oh. That's what he wants to talk about, and that's what he's talking about the whole time. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what she likes, hopefully. Did we finish with cover songs? I guess we kind of did.
Yeah. But
we want to go to Kimmel?
Yeah, let's do the Kimmel thing. Thank you. Getting me back on track. Being rattled by the email that I can't even find.
We're talking today about the big impeachment vote against President Trump. How did you vote? Did you vote to impeach or not to impeach?
I voted to impeach.
What were the lines like at your polling place?
They were actually not as long as I thought they would be, unfortunately.
Have you voted in presidential impeachments in the past?
First time.
And how did it feel?
I think it felt empowering to speak my voice.
And what would you tell people who haven't gone out to vote yet today? Look right in there and tell them.
Your vote is your voice. You got to get out there and speak your mind.
How were the lines at your polling place today?
Pretty packed. Yeah, pretty busy out there.
And how did you vote? Did you vote for the impeachment or against the impeachment?
I voted against the impeachment.
Against the impeachment.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody needs a second chance, and we all make mistakes.
What would you say to people who haven't yet gone out and voted on the impeachment today?
I tell them, your vote counts, I guess. You know,
Fictional elections?
Even in fictional elections.
How did you vote on the impeachment vote today? Did you vote for impeachment or against it?
I vote against it.
And did you do a mail-in vote?
No.
You voted out here?
I think so, yeah.
So how did you guys vote on the impeachment? Did you vote to impeach the president or not impeach him?
Not to impeach. Not to impeach.
You voted
to not?
Right. Did you go to your polling place or did you just text your vote to McConnell?
I guess I just texted McConnell.
Texted McConnell?
Yeah.
For the people who didn't bother to text their vote to Mitch McConnell, let them know how important their vote is.
Well, your voice matters now. Donald Trump could save this nation. If you don't vote now to keep Donald Trump in office... You know, this nation is on a rise, so...
Yep. That's right.
Make your voice heard. Vote who's the best person out there, and we'll see where this election goes in that. And Mitch McConnell, see what you see. Send back, boy.
What? Well, you guys are the future, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Voice got to be heard, everything in that. Eagle Scouts, yep. We are the next leaders of this nation.
Okay, before you go, let me hear the official Eagle Scout call.
Is that a real thing, that Eagle Scout chant?
I have no idea, but those two, did you ever read Spy versus Spy in Mad Magazine?
Yeah, I love
those
Spy.
Two are the living embodiment.
Yeah, they were brothers.
That's right.
Got the aviator glasses on.
The same teeth.
So I'm excited to talk about Who's Dating Who, which is a phenomenal site. It's got the separations. First of all, it's a team photo site.
Yeah.
Because you get everybody's team photo, which I've been saying for years. There should be a teamphoto.com that has anybody who's relatively well known. And it'd be so cool if they somehow could find pictures of the people and line them up like a baseball team with the two really short girls holding the baseball bats at the bottom in the middle. That'd be a hard picture to find. Or the guys.
Or, guys.
You know, or the guys lined up. And that's the funny thing was, I won't mention her name, but someone... contacted me and said that the whole team photo conversation was quite intriguing to her because she said she realized that she's in their team photos. And then, that's a funny concept, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. And who are you lined up there with?
Oh, boy.
Are you in the tall row, the short row? Or
you have more than 25, do you have to get on the bleachers like a football picture?
Yeah.
You do. There are definitely some.
Like a college football? Like what if there's 108?
It could get
like Leonardo DiCaprio.
It could get really tricky to identify all the people in the picture if you got a big team photo. That's the good news, I guess.
How many total did you guys come to with Pam? I don't know if I got to the end of.
I don't know what the
team photo discussion.
I think the ones that were listed. There were, you know, who's dating who? We weren't even looking at that list. How many do they have?
Some of those they were missing, though, on who dated who.
Hers was greater than a Bleachers photo.
Oh, yeah.
So she actually has 40 listed here, 40 different dudes.
That's about how many were in the piece that I read.
That she banged.
But that's what we know of. We don't always know.
So I remember years ago. When we were at 105.1, we were talking about the team photo website. I was lamenting that it needs to be done. In fact, there was actual discussions about buying teamphoto.com and trying to put something together. And it just so happened that, you know, over the years, you've had a whole bunch of different dating websites. They pop up here and there. Well, I was on one last night because the whole Derek Jeter thing, blah, blah, he's made in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
And that's a team photo. I mean, honestly, the team photo should get him in the Hall of Fame alone.
Exactly. And so I wanted to just kind of refresh my memory of who was on his team photo. It's a great one.
Who did he send gift baskets to?
Yeah, exactly. And then I...
Rachel, you could tell. I forgot about her. He and Tiger are connected directly.
Didn't he send a gift basket to one girl two times?
Yes, that's how it got exposed.
On a retap, yeah.
That's how it got exposed. Because she said, wow, he does this to everybody. Including a signed baseball.
Signed baseball.
Yeah.
Signed baseball. Oh,
it's pretty
God.
Nice. It's kind of pretty nice.
A little patronizing.
But I was looking up multiple different team photos that people put together, websites put together, to make sure that I could get them all. And I scrolled down there, and it just so happened to say, hey, what's the 6 degrees connection? And it's just this search engine at the website.
Oh.
So at the time, I'm watching Family Guy, and it just happened to be a James Woods episode. So I clicked James Woods. And then it told me... Derek Jeter and James Woods are separated by 4 romantic connections.
Whoa, no kidding.
Isn't that cool that you can make James Woods and Derek Jeter wiener to wiener?
Yeah, you can dock them. You can dock.
Because Derek Jeter, he slammed Mariah Carey.
Wiener docking.
Who rode Tommy Mottola.
Oh.
Who nailed Terry Garber, who banged James Woods.
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
Who's Terry Garber? I don't even see. That's funny when these people show up and you're like, I don't even know that person.
Terry Garber.
Is she an actress?
Never heard of
She's
her.
She's attractive.
She
as hell.
Is an actress, yes.
Very pretty.
Wow.
She was married to a couple.
Dudley Moore is in her team photo.
Oh, my God. He would be holding the bat down
yes,
in front.
He would.
So we immediately started.
Those dice.
We immediately started
dice?
Thinking of
dice
people
nailer?
That hate each other and how they're connected. So immediately it was Trump and De Niro.
Oh,
Trump and Baldwin.
I'm sure it's doable. It's got to be doable. With
it is.
Trump.
They all are.
Mm-hmm. What's Trump and Baldwin's connection?
We did Trump and Cusack, too.
Okay, so they actually have a connection that, let's see, they're separated by 4.
4 degrees?
4 degrees. So Donald Trump banged Gabriella Sabatini.
He did?
Yep.
He banged a dude?
A tennis player.
Yeah. Who banged Prince Albert of Monaco.
Oh, what?
Oh, hilarious.
Who had sex with Tatum O'Neal, who, of course, was banging Alec Baldwin.
So. Whoa.
Yeah.
What about Trump and Bezos? Oh, Bezos.
Yeah, no, Bezos. Nobody fucks Bezos.
No.
His team photo is like 3 people.
All right, let's see if there's a separation.
We got to talk about his story today. That's wild.
His phone getting...
Yeah, it turns out it's true.
Okay.
Saudi Arabia basically did hack his phone because he was communicating with what's his name? MBS?
Oh, yeah.
Salman bin Salman, the Prince of Saudi Arabia, over WhatsApp, and they were getting so tight that the prince sent him a video, which I'm dying to know. What is the video of that Bezos is like, oh, I'll open that.
It's dancing. It
had to be
titties.
Porn, right? Yeah. It had to be some kind of porn.
More than likely.
And that infected his phone, and that's how they got all the information.
Ah!
All right.
Wow.
It's crazy.
You can eat up a lot of time on who's dating who. Go ahead, Brandon.
This is like Baseball Reference or YouTube. You're going to go into a wormhole with it. So Donald Trump, of course, he nailed Stormy Daniels, who banged Dave Navarro, who slept with Kendra Jade.
Whoa.
Who banged Corey Feldman.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Who slept with Shannon Malone. Ugh. Who nailed Tony Gonzalez. Who, of course, nailed Lauren Sanchez.
Oh, my God.
What?
Who banged Jeff Bezos.
Wow, that's a lot of degrees, though.
It's
that
just, eight.
That tells you how small Bezos' team photo is. You got to go through Lauren Sanchez.
Yeah, but hers is fairly big.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to explode inside you. I'm going to spill it. I'm going to fill you up.
I'm going to fill you up.
What?
I'm going to fill you up.
Okay, just let me do the talking.
What do you say there? I meant to do that?
About to do it.
Oh. Somebody's so mad right now.
Yeah. I want to...
Are you doing Brandon Lee and Pamela Anderson?
Yeah.
Her son?
Oh, no! Oh, no! Go ahead, do it.
There are no romantic connections.
Oh, God.
There's
really?
There's got to be some...
Yeah, there has to be overlap. She's...
Parent.
Okay.
Child one.
Let's do John F. Kennedy and Trump.
Okay. Oh.
Is that... I wonder if that's possible.
And then can we do Donald Sutherland and Kiefer Sutherland?
Try it.
They're probably really close.
There's no way Trump's going to get to John F. Kennedy. There's no way. It's too far apart. But I bet we get Trump to Reagan, maybe?
Let's see.
Oh,
Reagan nailed some chicks.
Well, and then his wife, too.
All right, so check this out.
Betsy Davis? Oh,
JFK nailed Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah.
Of course. Who banged Mick Jagger?
What?
That's true. Because you can actually check the relationship, and this says that Mick Jagger is rumored to have had sex with Jacqueline Kennedy.
I believe it.
Really?
Good enough for me.
What?
Okay, good enough. She got.
Princess Margaret
herself
too?
There for
loved Bush.
Mick Jagger nailed Carla Bruni.
Oh yeah.
Who banged Donald Trump?
Oh my God.
He banged Carla Bruni.
Carla Bruni.
No way. Really? I'll believe it.
Wait.
Trump's nailed a ton of chicks.
Wait, yeah. Brown-Eye was the first lady of France.
Jagger went on like three dates with her and she got pregnant.
She married Sarkozy.
And
she married the president of France.
And Trump were banging in 91.
How about that?
Oh, God.
Wow. JFK and Trump, wiener to wiener?
Wiener to wiener.
Ugh.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. The logo for this has to be two wieners coming together like football.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just,
so Donald explode. Donald Trump slept
instead of the helmets on Monday Night Football, it's two wieners.
Yes. Just like those graphics.
Wrong. Donald Trump slept with Allison Gianni, who in turn slept with Robert Evans, who banged Lana Turner, who nailed Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
There.
Can we do De Niro and Trump?
Yeah.
Let's get them wiener to wiener.
Such a good sight.
Oh, it's a blast.
Let's just get everybody wiener to wiener. So, De Niro...
Get him out of here!
...hooked up with Veronica Webb, who banged Russell Simmons, who nailed Mary Young, who had sex with Donald Trump.
Oh, Mary Young. That was one he really liked, Mary Young. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
See why he liked her.
There's one more I want to check. Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'll be easy.
Let's see. Trump had sex with Roanne Brewer. Who slept with Vanilla Ice?
Oh, what?
Who had sex with Connie Hamsey?
Oh, sweet Connie Hamsey. Yeah. Who got an HJ from Bill Clinton? Or gave Bill Clinton an HJ?
Yep, Bill Clinton. So they have a separation of four.
What band did she sleep
with? He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
She's referenced in We're an American Band. Sweet, sweet Connie was doing her act.
Right, she had
the whole band, and that's a natural fact.
Yeah.
There's one disgusting person...
So he's like one person away from Grand Funk. Is it Grand Funk?
Yeah. Yes.
Do Andy Dick and John Lovitz.
I want to show you the funniest one that I saw today. And that's actually Andy Dick and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
They have.
Oh, my God.
They'll connect.
It's a pretty solid one.
I mean, it's a quick connection, too, because Andy Dick slept with Trishelle. From
Real World?
Leonardo. So they're just separated by one.
Wait, Trishelle from Real World?
They're cock cousins.
Leonardo DiCaprio slummed it with a chick from Real World?
Oh, but she's hot.
I think she's hot, too. No, I agree. But that's slumming it for him.
Look, he didn't
know. Sleeping his way to the middle?
In his defense, he didn't know she was on Real World. She was just there.
That's true. No, she shows very well anywhere, anytime. We need to call Andy Dick.
Can we see her team photo?
That's really weird. Andy... Trishelle. Would she be? No, she probably didn't even make the site, would she?
Of course she did. She's on it.
Okay, let's see what her team photo looks like.
All right. So she has 10 people that are listed. Adam Duritz. By the way, we have to do this.
Adam Duritz again. Adam, we need to check his team photo.
He's only got nine.
Go back to hers.
Wait.
Okay. So she slept with Chad Lindbergh, who's an actor. He was in like the Fast and Furious crap. John Hens. He looks like he's a Navy man pilot. Ace Amerson, Andy Dick, Adam Larson, Mike the Miz from WWE, Blair Herder, Stephen Hill, and Leo.
Yeah.
She actually has a type, except for Adam Duritz.
Adam Duritz.
Let's see Adam Duritz.
Emmy Rossum, hot. Oh. Whitney Casey, hot. Ooh, Trishelle, hot. Samantha Mathis. Yeah. Monica Potter, Mary Louise Parker.
He did?
Yeah, Courtney Cox.
Winona Ryder.
Jennifer Aniston, Winona Ryder. He's,
damn. Yeah.
He had a magnetic dick for a really long time.
He sure did.
But inexplicably.
What about Phoebe? He never nailed Phoebe from Friends?
Oh, Lisa Kudrow?
He wanted to do all the Friends. He's like the weird John Mayer of 90s alt music.
Oh, there's a great John Mayer story today.
Oh, that's right.
John Mayer's is actually really, really phenomenal, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That team photo.
One of the hottest. He's got 11 chicks that are listed, including Katy Perry, Rena Hammer, Taylor Swift, Sheena Marie, Jennifer Aniston, Minka Kelly, Jessica Simpson. Now, this chick, Milana Vaintrub, who's that? She's the AT&T chick with the Hydorak, really hot one.
What?
Yes. Rona Mitra, Vanessa Carlton, and Jennifer Love
John Mayer.
John Mayer nailed the AT&T girl.
Yeah, good for him.
Oh, she's so hot.
Oh, she nailed.
But she's never been in anything besides the AT&T that I know of.
The only famous person she banged was
John Mayer.
Wow.
That's right.
She's been in both of those.
Good for her. Wow. Did you read the John Mayer story today?
Yes, I did, about Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get to that. But let's call Andy Dick. I want to find out, first of all, if he even remembers Trishelle.
No, there's no way.
And the fact that he's connected to DiCaprio, one separation. That's good news.
Okay. He'll remember Trishelle after you explain who she is.
Yeah, he won't. I don't think he'll know she was in the Real World. Although, who knows? Maybe they had a thing. Andy usually lasts at least a couple weeks with people. I don't think he's a hump and dumper.
No, he falls in love.
He does.
With people.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a giver.
What a sight. Andy. I'm going to be on this all night.
Andy.
Oh, come on, Andy.
Okay, hey.
Hey, Andy.
Leave your name and your phone number.
Oh, man.
And
total
I
fake out.
I will call you. Back.
He sounded
thank
exhausted
so
when
much.
He was recording it.
Sorry, mailbox is full.
Hey, Brandon, you want to send him a text? Just say we wanted to quickly find out if it's true that he slept with Trishelle from the Real World?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe he'll answer via text, if nothing else.
Or send me another picture.
Did he ever send another one?
No, he didn't. I just get butthole pictures.
You get that one girl is pretty attractive.
Hey, there were two notable things on the impeachment hearings that I noticed. I was watching with subtitles. The subtitler?
Really? At work?
Well, no, at home. The subtitler thought that one of the words they were speaking was the C word.
What?
It clearly came out. And I tried to take a picture of it, but for some reason I couldn't rewind it.
Oh.
But yeah, it came right out. It was like, wait, what? Rhymes with Hunt, but...
Maybe
they were trying.
Maybe
to,
someone did call
maybe
someone.
Maybe someone. I was just going to say that.
Well,
yeah.
Possible.
Cunt,
whore. They have people that are speed typing, and maybe it was like count or something.
Something like that.
Got the O.
And have you ever heard somebody make a moot point?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about a point that had been mooted, and I had never used. I'd never seen it used that way or heard it used that way. Hmm. So I learned two things.
Can be a verb, not just an adjective.
That the C word was mentioned in the impeachment hearings and mooted.
Yesterday when I turned it on, Adam Schiff was talking,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed like a replay from the congressional hearings. I mean,
the
he was saying
phony Russia hoax.
All of them.
A lot of the same thing. I mean, this is like
they were just on
that's
loop,
right.
tape loops.
It was. I couldn't believe they could participate in it because it was so partisan, and it was everyone is so outraged on both sides, and I turned it on last night, and Adam Schiff was on again. And then today when it turned on, Adam Schiff was on again. And he
was outraged.
And, of course, everyone's outraged. And it just, it seemed like just a colossal waste of time. But the people that were speaking, it seemed to me, this is an opportunity, of course, to be seen nationally. So they were trying to be incredibly demonstrative. John Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice, actually told everybody, you know, this is, you're embarrassing this institution. Can you
keep that
in mind when you're speaking?
Yeah.
Because the vitriol was so bad.
He said that to Nads and who else?
He said what?
To Nads. Nadler.
Oh.
Nads. And somebody else was going at it overnight.
I didn't know he was talking to someone specific. I thought he was generally addressing all of them.
Well,
but
can you imagine how all day long he's sitting there trying to...
Well, here's the other thing.
Dreamweaver.
The other thing was that people were outraged that this was done till midnight or when did it end?
I was outraged.
Two in the morning?
2 a.m.
Went
that's
late?
What I heard,
And the feeling of outrage was because the people of America should be allowed to see this. It should run earlier in the day. And I was like, what happened at 4 o'clock p.m. that was so different from what happened at 11? I mean, did I miss something?
Well, they took a break to go to dinner, which...
But, I mean, the point is, was there really something that happened at 1 a.m., midnight, 1:30? That was any different from what happened at 3:30 p.m. or 11 a.m.?
No, they kept throwing out the what were they trying to get past the articles of impeachment, and the other side kept shooting them down. So it was just this big tennis game.
Ugh. Yeah. And
I was outraged.
You wonder why we all do such a poor job. Well, I say we. So many people are just, you know, such, like, people were posting on Facebook, like, how could anybody let this president get away with, you know, and of course, there's a, yeah, you know, responses, and then there's, you know, somebody who's like, you know, oh, is it, you know, who's defending Trump, and then it's a pile on them, and then a bunch of Trump people come in, and I'm like, why would anyone post on Facebook? Really? You don't think this, oh.
I know.
I guess some people need to get it out, or they are just, they're just using their voice.
They like to fight without actually having to stand up to each other. So.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. And shit.
Booming.
I'm telling you, we're not far from ABNN2. You have to start an ABNN2.
The court documents are in for the alleged assault case.
Okay.
And what happened? The driver was demanding $4,000 to move his stuff.
Oh.
And Antonio refused.
$4,000.
Wait. He hired the guy to move his stuff.
Yes. And when the guy wanted payment, he refused. So the driver claims that he tried to leave the home with Antonio's stuff in the truck.
Oh, because he wouldn't pay.
Yeah. Antonio picked up a rock, threw it at the car, causing a dent in the paint chip on the driver's side door of the truck. The driver called police to report vehicle damage. Another great use of resources. A short time later, the driver was contacted by the moving company and asked him to go back to Antonio Brown's house to redeliver the moving stuff.
Oh, to dump it in his house.
Yes, telling him that Brown was willing to make it the initial $4,000 payment. Plus an additional $860 to cover the damage of the truck. Upon arrival, the driver claims AB gave him $4,000, but refused to give him the $860 to cover the truck. So again, they argue, but this time the driver says that's when Antonio Brown forced his way into the driver's side of the truck and began to physically strike him.
Oh my God.
His associates then restrained Antonio Brown. The driver claims that his then-trainer, Glenn
Holt.
He
dry-ghosted you?
Who I guess played in the NFL too, grabbed the keys from the ignition, opened the side of the truck so Antonio could start unloading his belongings. The driver then battled.
Oh, so in other words, they tricked them into coming back.
Yeah. The driver then battled Holt for the keys and suffered cuts on his hand. AB and his buddies were unloading the truck. The driver says he told the group they were taking property that belonged to another client. So they threw it back into the truck, causing damage to those items. When the cops got there, Antonio was sitting at his front door, but when he saw the officers, that's when he went in and shut the door, and they tried to talk
to
him with, quote, negative results.
Yeah, they have not yet been able to. Are they going to have to get a is there going to have to be some court action so they actually go into his house and get him? Or they have to wait till he leaves?
Well, I mean, if this
they can't just sit out. That's not a good use of resources. Sit outside Antonio Brown's house for 3 days until he comes out.
No, I don't know how it works.
Not sure what the timing of Brandon's farting was, but it always seems to happen during an ABNN.
He's inspired.
News alert. Oh,
sorry about that.
Oh, maybe that's another thing we do with ABNN, too, is make it fart free. For those who don't like AB's farts or Brandon's.
What a mess.
You know, this is incredible the way he always gets away with this shit.
What is $4,000 to him?
No, it's nothing to him. And it's probably a fair price. I mean, generally, people give people like Antonio Brown a better deal, which is dumb. Yeah. But they do because it's like, oh, it's Antonio Brown. We're so excited. No, I don't know why anyone would offer him any service of any kind ever. And I go back to the New Orleans Saints. Why in the world would they try out Antonio Brown? What? Are you kidding? First of all, they said, don't bring an entourage, and he brings an entourage.
Because NFL teams are like some women where it's, we can fix him.
At this point, I think that should have ended with the Patriots. If anyone could fix him, and I didn't think they could, it would have been the Patriots. But look at there's so many incidents with him. He's like the Trump of sports. Yeah. It's like you can't even remember them all, and they all kind of run together. And, you know, if nothing happens for a while, you sort of go, well, he's just a little off his rocker.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
And Eli Manning's retiring. That was the other breaking news. Who cares?
And so when is this Antonio Brown thing going to – I mean, it's like we're all watching a movie. We're all waiting for the end when something really crazy happens. And apparently no one can do anything?
Who's going to get through to him?
I would think he'd be arrested or he would be charged with something, and maybe at least being in jail for a couple days would do him a little good.
It would faze him one bit.
Pretty good life he's got.
Yeah, but this is also a guy that used to sleep in his car when he was homeless. So maybe he's like Aaron Hernandez. He'll fight it cozy.
God, I just don't, I don't know. It's really, you know, you see this all the time where, and I see it in true crime all the time, where you got the ex who's, you know, I'm going to fucking kill you. You ever go out with anybody and I'll do this. And, you know, I tell the police and they say, well, you know, he hasn't done anything yet. And then maybe they do something and they get a restraining order, and a restraining order doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything.
Right.
But, you know, and these women, they all say, too, they go, he's going to kill me. When he kills me, it's him. When I'm murdered, it's him. I mean, you cannot believe.
I'm sorry to laugh. That's not funny.
It's true.
It happens all the time. And no one can do anything about it. And Antonio Brown almost seems like one of those things. And, oh, my God, I'll try and make this quick. I saw this thing last night about this guy who, well, he was briefly a hero because he came home from dinner. And he put the garage door up, and she got out to go in the house because the garage is kind of crowded. Mm. If you drive in there and she gets out, there's not a lot of space.
Yeah.
She goes in, and he doesn't hear anything, but he drives in and parks, gets out of the car. Oh, I guess he said he wanted to hear the rest of a song, too, so he's sitting in the driveway for a couple minutes.
It's normal.
Drives in the garage, gets out, goes in the house, and sees her on the ground. And he sees someone in the corner of his eye, so he ducks into, I think he had an office right there where he came in, and he had a revolver in the drawer. Grabbed the revolver, came out, and as he's coming out, the guy is running past him, and he kind of bumped into him, and the guy, of course, has a gun in his hand, and he just shoots him immediately.
Really?
Yeah, shoots him, and he crashes to the floor, falling out the into the garage, and dies. Mm. He actually shot him a couple times on the ground, too.
Huh.
So, you know, it's like, wow, what a crazy story. This burglar kills, it was actually the, what they call him? The handyman. The handyman.
Oh, yeah.
The handyman.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts the handyman. So, you know, hey, he's a hero. It could have been me. It was my wife. I lost my wife. But look, I put this terrible person away. And so, anyway,
like that could have been me.
All the police are sort of like, oh, this, okay, here's where it says, and this where this happened. Okay, wow, open and shut. One guy says, something isn't right here. And he's really getting a lot of resistance. And the other police even admitted that, no, I really thought it was open and shut. I really did believe him. And he says, nope, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find it. So the first thing he finds is...
There's a relationship between the guy and the girl.
Well, yeah, he was their handyman. He was their handyman.
Oh, the handyman.
Yeah, they did know.
I'm sorry, okay, yeah.
And they knew that. But the first thing he found out is that the neighbor across the street heard the gunshots immediately. Now, he had the music up, so he said he didn't hear it. But then he went in, and this all happened like that.
Yeah.
So somehow, the guy across the street called 911. A couple minutes after he heard the shots, he decided those were shots, and he called 833. Mr. Superstar Bad Guy Killer, he doesn't call the police till 8:44, 11 minutes.
Oh, boy.
And he said that he did call, and it didn't go through, or it was...
He's saying, I was trying to save my wife's life?
Well, he was furiously giving her CPR when they got there, but he said he called 911 after he shot the guy, but there wasn't 11 minutes.
Well, so he did.
That was
I mean, that
weird.
Was after he shot him.
Do you give somebody CPR?
Those weren't the first shots. Those weren't the first shots. So there was a little room there. What's that, Trudy?
You give somebody CPR when they have a gunshot wound? Doesn't that push the blood out faster?
It does.
Maybe tie a tourniquet. I don't know.
It seems a little kooky to me, but yeah, I'd be.
It's his wife. He's freaking out. He doesn't know what to do.
Okay.
So then,
just shot her. I mean,
right.
Just saved her.
The suspicious cop says, I want to do one thing. Is it okay if I go over there and have him, I'm going to videotape it. I'm going to have him recreate the event for me. And they said, okay, do that. But we still think this is all okay. So he recreates it and he's on the video. And this is the thing. It's like just a couple days later and the guy's going, yeah, so I kind of bummed in on turn one. Boom, boom, boom. And I mean, it seemed like.
That sounds fishy, but.
He didn't seem terribly. I mean, he seemed like he sure enjoyed the boom, boom, boom. And, you know, his wife died like a minute before
Wait
that.
Wait a sec. He knows the handyman, though, right?
Yeah, he knows the handyman. Yeah. Exactly.
Why would your first instinct be to shoot him? Why wouldn't it be like, hey, well, handyman, because, what's going on with my wife?
I said the guy brushed him, though. He acts like he didn't see him, right?
Yeah, I think he said that he. I think they said he identified him after he shot him a couple times. And oh, he had a face mask on.
Oh.
Okay, so.
Why would the handyman be wearing a face mask? Well, this makes no sense. Unless he's just
asbestos.
Unless he just wants to kill the wife.
I'll let you talk to the cops who bought the story. Well, anyway.
I just didn't want to get caught.
As this goes a little further on, they discover that, hey, the handyman, he's got a weird burn on his forehead. Mm. What's that all about? And they look at the pictures of the scene. Look at the picture of the scene, and they see there's a cigarette on the ground.
Ooh.
So, and I think someone said, yeah, when he was picked up, that cigarette was there. So, in other words, he burned his head on that cigarette.
Whoa. Oh, that's giving me a clue.
And so then it's like, wait, so the handyman, while he's robbing the house and he shoots the wife, he's just having a cigarette. Like,
oh, I just started getting a clue.
You know, while in between puffs. And it's all very weird. And then it's like, wait a second. The face mask doesn't have a bullet hole in it.
Whoa. Huh.
Or maybe it was the burn hole.
Oh, seriously? I have such a raging clue right now.
And so then it was a, he took the face mask off when he was dying or something like that. I mean,
before he was shot?
It starts
falling
exactly.
Apart.
Before he shot. Yeah. It's, all of a sudden it's like, wah, wah. This isn't looking so good. So then the cop, who's suspicious, starts looking into this guy.
Oh, you mean?
The great sleuth.
The great sleuth.
He's suspicious.
Finds out that he was married 5 times before this. And his last wife, when they got divorced, she was so afraid of him, she left town.
Oh,
and she
God.
Divorced, like, long distance. Oh, I mean, she was that afraid of him. And when this happened in the garage, someone connected to him in the previous location called the police and said, oh, by the way, he wanted me to kill that wife.
Oh, great.
And at the last minute, I decided not to.
Wow.
And I've never spoken to him since.
What a hero for deciding not to kill somebody.
This is before any of this came out that he may have killed both these people. So.
Wow. Has any relationship ever worked with
Then they find out that the wife before that, she had surgery for her heart, and she was recovering very nicely until one evening when he was alone in the room with her, and he came out, and she was dead. And it was very mysterious. The doctors were like, wait, what happened? She was recovering fine. And
sure seems fishy.
And her family said he had blood drops on his shirt. And so this was one of those, oh, no, she just died. And then it was like, no, she didn't just die. Big investigation. They charged him with killing her. Went to court, and somehow he was found not guilty. Wow. And he got $1.2 million in life insurance.
Oh, my God, really?
Jerk.
And his second wife died, and he got life insurance on him, and she died in some kind of an accident, I guess.
Oh, at the very least.
No, she committed suicide. She shot herself in the head.
Oh, my God. And, he's at least bad luck.
And there were cops in that case who said, I don't believe she killed herself. It doesn't make sense. Her family was like, no way. She would never kill herself. But they ruled that she killed herself, and he got big life insurance for that one, too.
Wow.
So he lived off life insurance.
So this is Thomas Randolph.
Isn't he a weird-looking guy?
Is he transitioning?
I wondered.
Wait, that's him?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, my God, I thought that was her.
That's not how he looked when he killed her. Anyway, they eventually decide that, yep, he killed his wife. He was going to pay the handyman to kill the wife, and he was going to get away. But he decided he didn't want the handyman knowing, so he wrecked it by killing the handyman. And he kept the secret. Sent the secret to the grave.
Wow.
I know.
He was wild. I'm very proud to say we caught him.
My God.
It's a wild story.
Needs a haircut.
But how about that?
Yeah. Wow.
Is he transitioning, Brandon? Can we find out?
It looks like it.
I don't know. I mean, all the headlines say that, you know, they convict the man.
He looks really weird. By the way, I don't want anyone paying for his transition. He's a murderer. He does not deserve the government to pay for his transition.
He's hot now, huh?
but loser.
Why does he continue to
How did he get five women to begin with after looking at
I don't know. He treats them like shit. He woos them like crazy. Spends all his money on them. Treats them like queens. And then the minute they're married,
they're like those NFL teams. Some of those NFL teams that think they can fix them.
You treat a hot girl like dirt, and she'll stick to you like mud.
There's nothing to fix because he's wooing them. But then the mother of the last girl
he's
that
an
died
asshole. Treats him bad.
That he got the $1.2 million for her death. She said that he was so mean to her that she actually at one time said, "Was he trying to make you kill yourself?"
Oh, jeez.
And she also said, after the verdict, when he's found not guilty, she said, he's just going to kill another. He's going to fall in love with someone else and kill him.
Wow.
And what do you know? So
I would kill myself if that were in my team photo. Anyway. God.
Oh, man.
Why would he continue to get married, though, after he got...
Because he wants more life insurance money.
Yeah, but he gets, $1.2 million?
Trudy, you know what? I'm exactly like what you're saying.
Greed.
I'm thinking, hey, he just got away with it. But you know what? It's really true, and I used to hear people say this, and I always disagreed. It does embolden people when they get away with things. Instead of going, oh, I made all that money dealing drugs. Time to stop and invest my money, and I don't have to worry anymore. No. They get used to a lifestyle, and they're like,
I'm going to start a new account, and that's the way it is. Don't take 6 or 7 business days to clear. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, it does. On to Jessica Simpson, who is writing her story. And we're just getting little bits and pieces. It seems that life's been tough for young Jessica Simpson. I haven't heard anything yet about Dad and his new gay life, which I mean, that'll be exciting to read about.
Yeah, but Dad pops up, though, at one part.
She does say, the first quote I read in the story was that John Mayer was obsessed with me sexually and emotionally, which I think she got 50% right. I don't think John Mayer was emotionally obsessed with her. I think he was...
Or anyone.
Getting it on and enjoying it.
Yeah.
He met her, and she said he started writing her notes. And then she and Nick got divorced. I'm not sure about her timeline exactly, because I've heard differently. But she says that her and Nick got divorced, and he continued writing her notes. And then eventually he said he wanted to have all of me or nothing, which I'm going to translate as... I want to fuck the hell out of you.
Yeah.
or forget it. If I can't nail you, forget it.
That's where babies come from, and this is mine.
Yes. And as for the notes he was writing her, I think those were, here's my dick pic, and here's my dick hard.
And you hitting that?
Here's my dick crying out for you. But she says that he wanted to have all of her or nothing.
All that he's got to do is pick up his.
I think that means, look, I got to get on with this. I got to nail you or forget it. If we're not having sex, let's no more notes. Get out of here. No more dick pics for you.
And he could have any woman in the room, yes.
Is this a John Mayer song?
Yeah.
Woman in the room. She wouldn't care about the fact that he wrote that song about a different girl. Or that he was with a different woman the night before. John Mayer could have.
Is that Jessica Simpson nude, Brandon?
Oh.
Is that her?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I can't confirm or deny if it's real or not. I mean, she's got.
Has there ever been
banana boobs.
Nude pictures of her before? Was she in The Fappening?
Not Did you really. See her quotes about John Mayer, though?
Well, I saw that she said, yeah, their connection was intense, means they had great SNFs.
Yeah.
I think that's what that means.
He made me feel seductive. He spoke about sex and my body in a way that made me feel powerful, at least physically, she wrote in the memoir. Where I felt insecure in the beginning was that I always felt I was falling short of the potential he was in me. Huh?
You made me feel so damn good that night.
Constantly worried that I wasn't smarter enough for him.
Oh, she's right there.
Because yeah, John I think Mayer that shows is so intelligent.
That shows some that she's smarter than I thought she was. But then she goes on to say that he treated a conversation like a friendly conversation that turned into a competition that he had to win. And I think that's him trying to lower her self-esteem so that she puts out harder in bed.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
She has to close the gap in the intelligence area by just putting out like crazy.
Yeah, more energy.
But she claimed that's what made her drink.
Yeah, she said the anxiety made her drink. So her drinking and pill problem, which I guess she says she had a problem with alcohol. And
well, the pill seemed to be because she was molested.
You can actually break down addictions that way?
Jessica Simpson did.
I didn't know you could do that.
Her dependency on drugs was partially brought on by the trauma surrounding childhood sex abuse that began at age 6 while sharing a bed with a family friend's daughter.
Was it chick?
It would start with tickling my back and then go into things that were extremely uncomfortable.
Ooh.
For 6 years, she was abused by this girl.
What?
Oh, but what's interesting is she eventually told her parents. She said, I'm the victim, but sometimes I felt like I was wrong. Recalling the moment her mother slapped her father's arm going, I told you something was happening. Nice reaction, parents. She also claims Tommy Mottola said, you got to lose 15 pounds, which I think is kind of fake because
that's the entertainment business. You know, if someone is trying to help Jessica Simpson with her career, isn't it at that point okay to say, you know, your appearance is really important. You're a singer. You're an entertainer. I think you need to lose some weight. Or is that shaming? Is that fall into the PC category that no one can ever say that?
It did get her Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's where she was at her most awesome. Phenomenal.
She looked great.
Awesome. In
yeah.
Excuse me. But did you guys see me win that conversation?
That's John Mayer.
John Mayer.
I don't know what he's doing.
I'm just...
Every time John Mayer's done talking.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
I'm picking this vibe up, though, that she thinks that her management is not allowed to tell her that she's overweight because that's, you know, like somebody in the office saying it. Isn't it different
sure.
if you're a singer, if you're going on stage and they're your management?
It is. But she's just saying that just that gave her anxiety, and I could see how that would happen. But
I can, no, I
business, that's the business you chose, Jessica.
I understand that. But I'm hearing the same type of conversation from Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar, where when criticism comes away, or they can't win, or women can't win, or whatever, all of a sudden that's off the charts, and you can't say bad things about female candidates or something.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to think, because honestly, in politics, there's no standard. You can say anything about anyone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that precedes Trump by a mile. I mean, look at all the
ads. Back a century.
Look at all the ads and all the lies they tell you and all the exaggerations they make. I mean, in local elections, they do this. And I, you know, at a presidential level, to say that they're saying that I'm my audience or my voters are elitists, which is what Elizabeth Warren said. She's so mad at Bernie Sanders. Well, what you mean to tell me that her people never play dirty? There's nothing. First of all, she's told a lot of whoppers.
Nice. She loves America and loves to represent the people of Massachusetts.
It's an Elizabeth Warren song. Wow.
Her and her beer commercial.
Ooh, Pocahontas.
Elizabeth Warren is very intelligent.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Next time you see her, you're going to think, Elizabeth Warren.
Interesting, too. I didn't really want to talk about this, but I will, because it was like, wow. Hillary Clinton said that no one likes Bernie Sanders.
Oh, my God.
And no one can get along with him.
Good old Bernie Sanders is a wonderful American politician.
Crazy Bernie.
Maybe she's trying to have the opposite effect, that everybody will be like, no, everybody loves him. Maybe she's trying to help him.
I don't think so. I think she's still pretty burned up about 2016 in the primary.
Well, she booted him out.
I think Bentley, the Twitter troll, put it best when he replied to the NBC News story by saying, well, if anybody knows about people not liking him, it's Hillary.
Well, it is ironic that she would say it. But has anyone checked in on this to say, yeah, nobody likes him? Because she, you know, I kind of thought, you know, this is out of context. There's no way someone, first of all, she shouldn't be saying anything.
She should go away. She should have gone away a long time ago.
But second of all, I mean, he's firmly in the race to win as a Democratic candidate.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
firmly
in the race. He beats Trump in most polls. In fact, I don't think I've seen a poll where he didn't beat Trump.
He would have been firmly in the race last time if it wasn't for superdelegates.
He was ahead of Trump. When you put Trump and Hillary head-to-head, I think it was 6 points. When you put Bernie head-to-head, he had a larger lead than she did. Mm-hmm. So somebody likes him. But anyway, she was asked, she did an interview with a magazine, and she said again, nobody likes him. I stand by my comments. And I thought, wow, that's really... I'm just waiting for someone to say either that she's full of shit or, yeah, nobody does like him. He doesn't get along with people. He would be a very bad president because he's not a consensus maker. But has anyone heard anything about that?
She backed off of it, saying that, you know, she'll support the candidate.
I
thought I did hear a bunch of people say that's.
Would all this be happening if I had been elected president?
Well, I find Bernie Sanders, I said it yesterday, I find him to be a very sincere, passionate person. He seems like a nice person. I don't agree with him politically. But, you know, a guy his age who's out there busting his ass to be president, I don't think this guy's ego-driven. I think he's sincere, and so therefore I don't dislike him at all.
Somebody asked
But I don't know him. Maybe nobody does like him. I don't know him personally.
Somebody asked him yesterday when he was walking in about those comments about people don't like him. He's like, on a good day, my wife sometimes likes me.
He's got a very good sense of humor.
She prefaced, though, the part of the Twitter response that you were talking about, how she was going to support him, by saying, I thought everyone wanted my authentic, unvarnished views.
You are wrong. Authentic? No one does.
She is not authentic.
No one wants her views on anything anymore. What is she talking about?
I don't know
how
she defends something that she said that's indefensible by saying, you know, you want me to tell the truth?
And Chelsea has a new book out.
Oh, yeah, she probably does.
She does.
This interview was because of a documentary, correct? Is that right?
Huh? What's that? I didn't hear you.
Chelsea?
No. Hillary's latest comments,
her documentary.
Yeah, she's got a multi-part, which is going to bomb, by the way.
Oh, I can't. Personally, I could not believe the advances she got for her books. I couldn't believe they sold. I bought Bill Clinton's book, which is like the first political book I've bought. And it was, remember, it was like 900 pages. Yeah. And everybody said, oh, my God, it's way too long. It is the wonkiest pile of Dreamweaver I've ever seen between two covers.
That's what he does, man. It is so wonky.
He rambles. So I don't know why people buy these books. And I say that having bought one. But nobody buys these books. I mean, nobody gets anything out of these books. Well, maybe they do. Maybe they love it. Maybe it reinforces their view. I don't know. they get big advances, but I just can't understand.
A really very successful book.
Even guys...
I wrote 12 books. All did very well.
You know, hearing Trump's voice reminded me, I might as well rap with the Royals.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kind of surprised that the comment, and I'm not sure if Harry said it or Meghan said it or someone said it on their behalf, that they want to move to Canada, that they would eventually like to spend a lot of time in the U.S., but they're going to wait till Trump's out of office. Now, I would think people would be mauling them for saying that. I mean, the right would be.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, it makes me want Trump to be elected a tiny bit more because I can't. Because first of all, he'll never pay for their security.
No,
there's no way.
Well, they're private citizens, so why would they?
I don't understand why anyone
That's
would.
Right.
They're not royals.
No.
And she's a half-ass actress. He's a spoiled kid. Why would
get him out of here?
Walmart with a crown on it.
Oh, that's right. We got to play his new.
Apparently,
comments.
$3 million and a 26-bedroom home isn't enough for them.
It's not so.
He's very low energy.
So Thomas stoned.
He's very depressed. I mean, this is his daughter.
I'm sure he's not
dearly.
Stoned.
He had the heart attack before the wedding, and then she said that she was hurt by him not showing up. Well, I guess she wanted to risk his life mm-hmm. by doing something the doctors told him not to do. And by the way, Thomas Markle is so
fake.
Not credible anymore that he produced medical paperwork to show that he really had a heart attack.
It was like a doctor's note.
Probably. To get out of gym.
He's now saying that the Royals owe him.
Yeah, and he says also that, I'm going to do more stuff, and I'm going to get paid.
Yeah.
Because
she called me on the phone.
You owe me so much money.
And she said, I've got a new boyfriend. And I said, great. And she said, he's British. I said, okay. And she said, he's a prince. I said, all right. She said,
no energy.
Slow down, Thomas.
Harry. I said, oh, I didn't know what it meant. She could have been dating a Hollywood star, and it would have been just as important to me. Because, you know, either way, they're both high numbers. I was sitting in my car waiting across the border, and I heard the good news from the Royals is that
he's driving.
Meghan is
very slow.
Which is almost a joke when you tell people, you know, well, you heard it on the radio. This is my daughter. Talking about my grandchild. She's going to have a grandchild this morning. And I'm not hearing about it on the phone. I'm hearing about it on the radio. I apologize to you. I want to apologize to the Queen and to the royal family. I want to do that. And I was told by them, don't. And I was scheduled to go to the airport and go fly to England because they still wanted me to come to the wedding and be at the wedding.
Right.
And at that time, I got a massive heart attack.
Blessing in disguise for them.
Was then taken to the Sharp Hospital. Across the border.
I should have gone
the
anyway.
The last time they might see me is being loaded into the ground.
Oh.
I don't think at this point they're thrilled to see me. Or
oh, Thomas. I think you're giving them too much credit. They're not going to see you.
He's a weird way of speaking, doesn't he? It sounds like everything's muffled through maybe a fur on his face. And
it's really sad. I mean, you have Thomas Markle, who obviously loves his daughter, and she has snubbed him. She has climbed so high that she's left all her family behind. They're all liars and money-grubbing people, when the truth is, she's the biggest money-grubber there is.
But Thomas says, you know, it's time to look after Daddy.
Well, it is.
Message to her.
He's in his 70s. He just had this heart problem. And what does she say? He hurt her by not risking his life by coming to that wedding.
Yeah, right.
His doctors told him, you could die. You are so bad off from this heart attack. And she says that he hurt her. And he also said that she...
Couldn't she get him better medical coverage over there? Couldn't he fly in a medical plane?
I don't think he could fly.
What?
He couldn't
at all?
Fly. No, he
not
could
even
maybe
at,
she
at a low altitude for a long time.
He could have caught a ride with Greta Thunberg maybe on the boat, but he could not fly. And also, she got a number of her friends to attack him. He said that to avoid taking responsibility for it, she had a number of her friends talk to journalists and say that, oh, he's a big leech and, you know, he's a big liar and he didn't have a heart attack. That's a big fake act. He's trying to make it all about him.
Why does he say that the royals owe him, though, and Harry owes him? And
because of all he's lost. He's lost his daughter. So they owe him.
Owe him what, then? His daughter?
don't know.
Or money.
Maybe he paid for all his articles.
I'd love the queen to go, well, you can have her back.
Yeah.
She's all yours.
Get her.
Trudy, who do you think the queen hates more, Diana or Meghan?
Oh, I think she really hated Diana. Yeah.
She did. Oh, yeah, she couldn't stand her.
Yeah. Took care of her.
So did not want to say, oh, too bad she died.
I know, it took
her a long time.
Yeah, it did.
It's about time.
Thomas Markle also admitted that he made money off those photos, and he said, absolutely, those pictures will sell forever.
So yeah, he continues making money.
Still making money, and he's
bummed. And he lied to them about it.
He's never met Archie. And he has no qualms about demanding cash for interviews, including the one he was giving for that documentary. I'm going to defend myself, and I'm going to get paid for it. I don't care.
He should get paid. He lost his daughter.
I'm in my
senior like damages.
Damages.
And
do
she.
Do you get compensation for losing an adult?
If they're to the royal family, yes, you can get compensation.
And in pure Thomas Markle style, he told us how much he made from those paparazzi pictures.
What, 30% of $100,000
yes.
or something?
Yeah.
And she,
he said his, I'm sorry, one more thing. He said they were his response to the media painting him as, quote, dumb, fat slob. So it worked. No one thinks of him that way anymore.
I don't think they had to paint him that way. I think it pretty much was pretty easy to think that without the media.
There's another fun story about Meghan. Some good quotes.
Hey, she's wearing all Canadian labels, man.
I wish, God, if there was only some way to have some law passed in the world
Meghan's
that
law.
Everyone had to ignore Meghan. Yeah, Meghan's law. Everyone has to ignore Meghan.
Taken.
Can you imagine if no one tried to take her picture, no one hired her for a movie, no
terrible.
One hired her for voiceovers, because she would have you believe that, you know, all this attention has been the most shocking thing. She had no idea if you married Prince Harry that people were going to want to take your picture. And now she's in Canada, and they're taking her picture, and she's suing them for taking her picture. So not only can the British people not buy her pictures from the Canadian photographers, but the Canadian photographers should not be taking her picture either.
Aren't the laws over there far more protective than Canada or the United States?
For the royals, absolutely.
Yeah.
The royals are in their own category. They can go to Scotland Yard and say, hey, would you get this shit to stop happening? And they do it.
The only way she wins this argument is if she dies in a car accident. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and if she gets a drunk driver to drive her
yeah.
and the media follow.
Oh, holy God.
There's a drunk chauffeur.
Henri Paul Jr. Yeah.
Yes. Henri Paul Kurtz, of course,
yeah,
came from
Henri
Paul.
Yeah, Henri Paul Kurtz.
But can you imagine if everyone stopped paying any attention to her, it would be the end of her.
Yeah, it would.
She probably would hire a drunk chauffeur.
People barely, yeah, just to get back in the news.
She is such a phony, and this idea that this royal, oh, this has been coming for a long time. She's been married for what, a year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She had no idea it was going to be like this. And meanwhile, while she's, you know, the princess of whatever, she's got Harry hustling her shit at these parties to, you know, Jon Favreau and Bob Iger. Yeah, she does voice work and she's really good. And, you know, can't you hire her? Can't you? I didn't know she did. Okay, so you're going to hire her? Well, yeah, she gets the job and they make a big to do over. Yeah, for a donation. Well, yeah, and she got paid too.
You know what I really hated about that too? Did you see her joke as he was pitching these people?
No, what'd she say? I didn't
said
even
something
notice.
Something like, oh, yeah, that's why we're here. We're just here for the pitch.
Yeah, you are.
And it's like,
you are.
You know, she was yelling at him in the car, like, don't forget to ask about doing voiceovers. And then she
made it so fucking obvious.
And she had him play it.
You've worked it in a little more smoothly. You look like a hustler.
She's basically a disaster.
Oh, I might have to carry you, fucking prince.
My agent's less obvious than that. Jesus.
She's so, totally insane.
My father was right. Should have never married you.
And then this just gave my heart joy. I got a dopamine release from this.
Joy.
All this criticism of Prince Charles,
yes,
because he went to this economic summit on a private jet that burned up six tons of carbon units. So
six Thunbergs. That's a unit of measurement now.
And he met with her, too, after flying on this private jet. So did she give him shit and say, what are you doing on a private jet using up 6 tons of carbon?
She should have.
Did she? I bet she didn't.
Well, she had another one of them angry ones.
I didn't pull the audio, though.
He also called for more green taxes. And
see, that's how he's getting away with it, because he can actually make
Yeah, but he's flying around private jets. Do we really need him to be all these places? No, he's passing no the
law.
One.
It's his own personal carbon offset by passing the law.
Yeah, but he could Skype all these.
You could Skype. I don't understand why they just don't Skype these meetings. It would really look much better. The optics are pretty shitty.
I want Gen Z guru.
Oh, yeah. Jonah?
Yeah.
I really want all these people like him to be stopped from flying private jets, because you know that will just ruin their lives.
Make them fly commercials?
Yeah, they'll stop flying. They won't fly anywhere. They'll be driving. They'll be hiring chauffeurs. he also said the only limit is our willingness to act, and the time to act is now. And that's after getting off a private jet. He said that time to act is now. But you burned up 6 tons of carbon, and you could have flown commercially. Yeah. Just Bill Elton John for that. Maybe Elton John's paying for all this. I don't know. I haven't heard a response.
Poor Elton. That's why he's still touring.
He's just doing tour, yeah.
He has to keep touring to pay for all these carbon offsets.
And Oprah came out to say that she fully supports Harry and Meghan.
Oh, thank God. Okay. But I was worried.
Guess what? She has business with Meghan Markle.
She does.
They're doing a series on mental health together.
Oh, no one's going to watch that.
No, I know. It will be a bomb.
Especially honestly, since she's not a princess anymore.
Yeah, all this Meghan Markle, her voiceover,
it's
nobody's going to give a
it's
fuck.
Moot.
It's moot. It's
done.
Her point has been mooted.
Been yeah, this, mooted, yes.
I really think that this will be a slow fade, and it'll be like, yeah,
very gradual.
And then she'll be like, I want to be a royal again. Nobody takes my picture anymore.
No, you know what's going to happen. He's going to divorce her to get back into the family.
Yeah.
Isn't that how he saves this?
Yeah.
He has to dump her at some point. He is so miserable right now. He could be in a pile of chicks in Vegas.
Yeah.
He could be dressed up as Hitler.
I forgot about that.
Didn't he dress up as Hitler?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
Why isn't he canceled, by the way?
He calls him the good old days. Because he's German.
Nazi. I don't
know. Yeah.
He's German. Isn't that their ethnicity?
Oh, yeah. The Windsors. Mm-hmm. They are.
Read that other story about Meghan and Kate, because there's some wonderful quotes in there.
Oh, yeah, Prince William and Kate Middleton are so happy Meghan Markle and Prince Harry left the country. A couple back at home weren't crying over the departure. They're so happy Meghan has left, the source said, knowing that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were not going to speak negatively about the situation. They do not like Meghan. They're celebrating for sure.
Celebrating.
I believe it. Kate and William spent time with the new baby and Harry and Meghan, the insider said. As they were leaving, but before they were out of earshot, Meghan said, I don't want any advice from her.
Mind you, Kate has, what, 3 kids?
Yeah, 3 little kids, yeah, but she can't give her any advice. Don't give me any advice about my kid.
Yeah, or being a royal.
Yeah, exactly. The source told... a source that Kate was mortified by Meghan's comments. Oh, she said it was something simple like get some sleep or how to change a diaper. It was hurtful. Source insisted the tension was nothing new. It seems like Meghan just hated Kate no matter what she did. Tried to be nice. Meghan wasn't going to be nice back.
You know, sometimes getting parental advice from somebody who is a fantastic mother and very prominent and in the tabloids is very beneficial for new parents.
What's up, Brandon and Kristen? Congratulations on having your newborn baby be new parents. My biggest thing is when you are a new parent, spend lots of time sleeping with the baby because you're tired. So I hear someone has some small hands, so be careful with the baby. Be gentle with the baby. Don't let the baby fall. There's a lot going on with the baby. So send some pictures. Mwah! I hope you guys have a blessed day, and I'm not being too loud on purpose. Bye, guys.
Yeah, and so I did send her pictures. We're in communication all the time. That was sage advice, and Farrah basically raised Madeline to the 14-month-old baby she is today. So
really?
Thank you.
When is Maddie going to get a business done?
Oh, well, I'm already working on a yogurt shop.
Or TikTok? Did you see she's got a TikTok? What's that?
Maddie needs a TikTok.
Sophia Abraham has a TikTok.
Yeah. Wait, a TikTok?
Yeah, a TikTok account.
Video. Oh,
it's
okay.
The new
she's making videos.
Now, the only reason I know that is because Farrah put out that really skanky video on a boat.
Hell yeah.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there was Sophia 5 feet away.
Doing a TikTok
cheering.
Video 5 feet away.
So, Meghan, listen to Kate. She knows what she's talking about.
Wow, that was great of Farrah. I mean, that was great advice.
Yeah.
You guys should listen to that every morning.
We do.
Cool. All right, get us out of here, Brandon. I want to mention one more time at Rock City, 5 Mile in Livonia, for Steve Gorman. Do we know 5 Mile and what the crossing is or close? So I can get there? Yeah. My final appearance?
Okay, Clark.
You say he's getting there 157?
Hang on. That's funny because they told you to get there 130. Just saying.
Well, looks like 5 Mile and Farmington Road.
Okay. Yeah. And it's Rock City, right?
Rock City
Music Company.
Rock City.
Cool.
Oh. Right around the Bates Hamburgers, so look for that. That's one of your...
Bates Hamburger. Wow, that makes me hungry, Trudy.
Yeah.
Would you like a hamburger right now?
No, because they had combos and cookies and pickles and grapes.
Wow, Loft House cookies.
Yeah. They're the best.
You saw Trudy saw some cookies on my refrigerator and was so intrigued. It seems that if new food comes into my house, it seems like you figure it out first somehow. It was the full inventory. I don't know how you do it.
And then somebody had gotten them for you, you know, to take care of you, literally. And I'm like, oh, I couldn't do that. And you're like, oh, no, go ahead. So I did.
Yes.
I ate cookies.
I really didn't need any cookies. Did you enjoy them, though? They're pretty good.
She complained about them. You complained?
What?
She complained
Tattletale.
About them.
What?
He asked the question. I didn't say anything until
she did not like the cookies?
I did.
No, she didn't like them as much as Milano's.
Right. Well, okay, so the little raspberry center, kind of like, you know, the cookie breaks away. It's too much to explain.
Oh, I love the raspberry center.
They were tasty.
Time is your friend right now, Trudy.
Right. we got to go.
Milano's sound good, though, I got to admit.
Yeah.
Milano's are great. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
They're America's team.
Come on, Leon, leave some for the bitches and
caught on tape. The Dallas Cowboys team video, directed by police informants and wide receiver Michael Irvin.
Yeah, that's good right there. Come on now, a little faster.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Now put your arm up. Let's let Eric try my field goal.
Oh, man, the bitch blocked it.
Aw, cut. Take five for some lines.
The Cowboy team video starring Michael Irvin. Some unidentified strippers.
Don't.
Eric Williams. More unidentified strippers. Leon Lett. Roy Aikman's back.
Ow, 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 ouch.
And some more unidentified skanky broads.
Please, Leon, open up.
Hold on a sec now. I'm just in the bathroom and
no boring highlights, no stupid bloopers, just your favorite married cowboys boinking tramps and doing mounds of blow.
Okay, I want this hoe on top of that hoe.
No, that's gross.
Shut up, bitch. Do this line.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, now intercept this pass and
Oh, yeah,
that's good. Now take fire for some lines.
See, Leon, let's drug test.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. We're going to need a bigger cup.
And Michael Irvin's drug test.
Holy.
And Leon, let's disappearance.
Where's Leon?
I think he'd be in the bathroom or some.
Aw, man, I think he's under that pile of blow. Here, blow on it with me. Leon, what the f*** are you doing? Climb on this bitch.
What? What you talking about?
The Dallas Cowboys team video. Only $19.95. Call 1-800-AMERICA. Order now and get 2 free table dances at participating strip joints.